The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Topeka Capital Journal or its parent company, Morris Communications. Now, stay tuned for the news, followed by today's webcast of Jim Cates at CJ Online.
Good morning. Today's Friday, August 14th. Here's just a look at news. You can read in more detail in the Topeka Capital Journal and on CJ Online. A strong stream of anti-government sentiment flowed again in the Topeka Town Hall meeting conducted Thursday by Representative Todd Tehart, the 4th District Republican vying to replace Sam Brownback in the U.S. Senate. The second Topeka Town Hall meeting in as many days was again peaceful and packed as spectators who couldn't fit into the auditorium at the Topeka and Shawnee County Public Library listened to the meeting in an adjacent cafeteria. And for the second consecutive day, concerns about government intervention into the lives of Americans became a dominant theme. The Shawnee County Health Agency Community Health Center is hoping to build a new $2.2 million clinic at 2049 Southeast California to replace the Hillcrest Clinic in the Hillcrest Recreation Center. The Shawnee County Commission purchased the vacant lot at Southeast California, making it possible for the health agency to apply for a federal stimulus facilities investment program grant to build a new 6,000 to 7,000 square foot facility. A Topeka fire official was taken to a local hospital Thursday afternoon after the department vehicle the person was riding in a passenger car collided at a downtown intersection. Stephen Brooks, the driver of the car, said he was exiting Interstate 70 at Southeast 3rd Street exit and driving south onto Southeast Monroe Street shortly before 2 p.m. Meanwhile, a fire department sports utility vehicle was driving west on Southeast 4th Street. I had the green light and I didn't even hear them coming, Brooks said. I looked up and they were about 10 feet away and boom. Topeka police were on the scene, as were Shawnee County Sheriff deputies and the Topeka fire investigators. They didn't immediately release any details about the accident, but Brooks said he thinks the sirens and lights on the SUV were operating. Sunny to partly cloudy skies today and a high of 91, a few clouds overnight and a low of 68. Stay tuned for Jim Cates at CJ Online.
Topeka Collegiate, Topeka's only independent school, treats every child as gifted. Each student is encouraged to excel in a caring, small class learning environment guided by humanitarian principles. At Topeka Collegiate, children fall in love with learning. Enrollment is limited. Call 228-0490 or visit our website at topekacollegiate.org. Topeka Collegiate School, educating children for life.
Hi, this is Carl Edwards here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You want to make a difference? It's simple. Be responsible. Plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Topeka provides a safe and easy way of delivering prescriptions to your door and saving you money every day.
Are your medication costs spiraling out of control? Is Plan B really saving you any money once you reach the donut hole? For many of us, saving money on skyrocketing medication costs has become a vital way of controlling those tight monthly budgets. I'm Eric with Canada Drug. We're locally owned and operated, have been for over 5 years. Serving your friends and neighbors, helping them save thousands of dollars yearly on essential prescription medications. To find out how you can have more medication at the end of your month for less money, call us at Canada Drug today, 785-272-6100. Or visit us just east of Wanamaker on 17th, between Applebee's and McDonald's.
Saving for everybody, we're Canada Drug.
Canada Drug of Topeka, 272-6100.
It's time for Jim Cates at CJ Online. News, opinion, interviews, and community conversation, live and online. Join Jim and his guests by calling 785-295-1193 or emailing jim.cates@cjonline.com. And now, presented by the Capital Journal and cjonline.com, here's the Dean of Talk Radio in Topeka, Jim Cates.
Good morning, Topeka. And good morning, Trish.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about this national health care?
I'm real concerned.
Why? What's your main concern?
Because it didn't sound like a good deal.
Why?
And I'm getting older.
Well, we're not getting any younger, that's for sure. But what scares you about getting older as far as health insurance? If the government
takes
it over,
yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like their elderly are their priority.
Sounds like you're not going to live long if you're elderly.
Yeah.
You come down with a disease, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Not good.
They'll call in the consultants and goodbye.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gets into all kinds of ethical questions. You know, somebody 80 years old, should an 80-year-old be going in for a knee replacement?
Well, yes, my mom's going in a couple of weeks, as a matter of fact.
80?
Yes.
Well, she's got private insurance. That's one thing.
Yes, and she's in good health still.
But if it was national health care,
she wouldn't be going.
Once somebody hits 80 years old, I mean, we have to use some common sense, don't we?
Well, my mom's real active. And
what if your mother was a juicer? You know, what if she was hitting the sauce? She's 80 years old.
Well, that might help sometimes.
And now she needs a liver transplant. Should
well,
we give an 80-year-old a liver transplant?
Well, I don't think anybody should.
You know, that gets into the ethical questions on this.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I don't have the answers. Had a guy that was coming on this morning. Good news and bad news today. The good news is Joseph Crisdale is going to be with us next Friday on the show.
He should be able to tell us all about it.
Well, he should be. He is the former United Press International. Well, he was the head honcho in Canada for years and voluntarily took a step back because Joseph's now 55, I think, something like that. At any rate, now he's a reporter in Toronto. Joseph spent about a decade in the United States, but he's a Canadian citizen back home in Toronto.
Yeah.
Loves his homeland. And certainly has some thoughts on national health care.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, we had Joseph scheduled to come on today. And they had a family situation that arose. Well, his wife got laid off. She got her notice this week.
Yeah.
His wife worked for a newspaper.
Mm.
Yes. Newspaper industry, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
Although this paper, you know, I want to point out, is doing quite well.
Yes.
If I'm asked once a week, I'm asked 15 times.
Yeah.
You know, how's the Capital Journal doing?
Yeah.
Well, Morris Communications owns 13 papers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the papers that Morris owns that is doing quite well.
Yes.
This is a well-managed paper.
Yeah.
But at any rate, Joseph Crisdale's wife got her notice. So because of that, they had a lot of things going on today. But he will be with us next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to give us his thoughts on the Canadian health care plan
that
we're hearing a lot about.
Yeah.
And I'll let Joseph summarize it because he's really got an interesting perspective because he's seen both sides of the street.
Yeah.
You know, living in this country for 10 years and now back in Canada. So it's going to be an interesting show. Well, it's going to be a show. Could be interesting.
No, he's always interesting.
We've had interesting guests before.
Yes, we have.
Yes, it's happened, and maybe it'll happen again. coming up today, Chad Harkness, Jeff Peterson, they're going to stop by for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking a big do. It's coming up, I think, tonight, I believe. We'll find out. I'm not sure when it's coming up, but big event, and that's the annual Harley party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I've never been to. I had a wreck as a kid on a two-wheeler. And I don't have any desire to get on one again.
I love motorcycles.
But I know a lot of people do. Harleys are big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a broker years ago. Would qualify for the village idiot, I think, because this was right before Harleys took off. And I was reading a few articles about Harleys, and it appeared they were just poised for success.
Mm-hmm.
So I called my broker, and I says, why don't we buy some stock in Harley? And he says, no, it'd be a terrible investment. Terrible investment.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Needless to say, Harley stock has just absolutely gone through the roof.
Yeah.
This was back in 1992.
Yeah.
So. Yet another opportunity lost. Lord knows I've called more wrong than I've called right. But this one I saw coming.
Yeah.
And my broker, who's out of the business, I'm not sure that he's out of business. I don't know. Not my broker anymore, but I don't use a broker. I go through Scottrade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talk like I've got a lot of money invested. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of piddle around with it. But The stocks I'm buying now are Chinese.
Are they?
Yep, yep. I think that's our future. Mm. You know, Bush screwed this thing. Here I go on my George W. Bush rant again. But during the Bush administration, we lost 4 million manufacturing jobs, virtually all of which are in China now.
Yeah.
And China's now manufacturing everything. But if you take a look at how this country was founded, basically it was selling goods to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't need to export anything back in the early 1900s. We were consuming everything we were manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
Back then we had 150 million people. China has 1 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you take a look at, you know, just the potential customers you have in China without ever exporting one of these cheap toys to the United States,
yeah,
just sell that stuff internally. And you've got a heck of an economy.
Yep.
That's the reason we're seeing the Coca-Colas and the Pepsis and what have you expanding worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a rip, you know, what their market share is in Delaware anymore. Doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah.
But it means a whole lot as to what their market share is in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the people are.
Yeah.
So I'm the big proponent that China is going to be the next growth country. Huge growth potential. Mm. In fact, I've purchased 3 Chinese stocks, all 3 of which have done extremely well. Now, having said that, I don't have a lot of money invested in any of the 3, and I've invested in some domestic stocks here that haven't done as well at all.
Yeah.
Okay. How do I tell if this sound, if I see the red light, that means we're okay on sound.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Very good. You know, I've been here a year. You'd think I'd have a handle on how.
Or I'll go downstairs and listen to you and email you a lot.
Okay. Okay. You know, I guess we could take a break, and Barb Hollingsworth's coming in.
Oh, good.
This morning.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about some of the changes in CJ Online. And then at 9 o'clock, we have Jim Ogle,
mm-hmm.
General Manager of WIBW-TV, and John Arnold, Metro News. They're coming in with the, well, we'll talk about
now,
the top stories.
Do they know we moved back here?
Yes.
Okay.
Both have been notified, and they will be here. Next Monday, Tim Rencher, of course, is coming in at 8 o'clock
mm-hmm.
with his weekly City Hall County Commission update. And Dr. Melanie May is coming in. We're going to be talking about the Israeli-Palestine conflict.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nancy Boyda gave me a book to read a couple of weeks ago. Fascinating. A book on Queen Noor, the mm-hmm. former queen of Jordan.
Yeah.
Interesting spin on the whole Israeli-Palestine conflict. So that's going to be Monday. And then James Meyer is coming back talking about the Ethics Commission.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up Monday. The next Friday, Joseph Crosdale, he's going to be with us talking about Canadian healthcare. State Representative Joe Patton, Kevin Dole, TK Magazine fame.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be one of our guests for our media roundtable. And then a week from Monday, John Ocala is going to be with us, City Councilman Ocala.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lining up my guests early because next week we're going to take a couple of days off. We're going to go to Memphis.
How fun.
We're going to tour Graceland, which I've never done.
Fun. I've never either. I'd like to do that.
Neat thing about it. Elvis is going to be in Memphis all week next week.
Yeah, it's his anniversary of his death, is it? When he died?
He's dead?
Yes.
Really?
Sorry to disappoint you.
Really?
Isn't it the anniversary when he died?
That's why he's going to be in Memphis all week.
Is
next
it?
Week. That would be it then.
I bet it was.
I'll bet that's it.
Is it? It's not his birthday.
Yeah, Nancy told me. She said she checked it out and said Elvis is going to be in Memphis all week.
I'll bet
week.
There'll be a lot of them there.
Huh? Well, it should be fun. You know,
little ghosts running all over the place.
You know, to see his house, they say, as tacky as can be.
Yes.
But
I
still, you know,
TV.
Just to see how rich people live, you know, that's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah.
But to go through the plane, you know, I've been on the... Well,
I've
been on...
Yeah,
that's part of the tour. You know, I've been on the governor's plane to where it's been customized and what have you, but that's the only plane of that type I've ever been on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as just seeing one of these rock star planes.
Yeah.
The interior of it. Really, I'm looking more forward to that than I am touring the house. I mean, I've seen tacky homes before.
Oh, yeah.
But I just want to see the inside of that plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's going to be fun stuff.
Yeah.
And the tour bus.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't going to be like getting on a Greyhound. You know, again, it's one of these rock star tour buses. And, yeah.
Be fun.
Should be fun. Yeah. Elvis was a fascinating individual. I saw him once, fatter than a hog.
Are you going there just for that, or are you going to do something else?
Yeah, we're going to go to Tunica for a couple of days, Mississippi. That is the number 4 as far as gaining revenue. Tunica's now number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas, of course, is 1. Atlantic City's 2. Reno and Tunica virtually are tied for third.
Hmm.
You know, and I've pretty much given up on gambling. That's not a big deal to me to go to a casino.
Yeah.
Other than entertainment, and the beer's cheap.
Yeah.
So that's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a neat trip, I think. Okay, but when we saw Elvis, you know, again, this was about 6 months before he died. Fatter than a hog.
Wasn't that his last
thing? But there was just something about
thing?
Him. There was just, you know, when they played the 2001 Space Odyssey music.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just something special about Elvis Presley when he came out on stage.
I seen a thing last night on TV. They were comparing him and Michael Jackson to each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they were in-laws at one time.
They had real
God, you
similarities.
Know, he's
got to
be turning over in his grave. His daughter marrying Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good thing he died when he did, so he wasn't alive to go through that nonsense. I can't imagine.
He might have liked him. Who knows?
Huh?
He might have liked him.
I don't think so. No, Elvis wasn't weird. You know, he had his problems, but
yeah.
Elvis was a good patriotic American. Michael Jackson was just weird.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Different.
I never got into Michael Jackson.
No.
But, you know, just the small boys deal and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. Well, enough of that. Let's take a break. Chad Harkness, Jeff Peterson just walked through the door, and we're going to be talking about the upcoming Harley party. Barb Hollingsworth is going to be with us about, I don't know what time she's coming, 8:30, 8:40.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 9, we've got our media roundtable. We're going to get into health care. We're going to be talking about Officer Judd. I know the Cav Journals beat that story to death. The only reason I want to get into this Officer Judd story, because I don't think that's the law enforcement story. You know, again, I haven't really been on Officer Judd or any of these four police officers' cases because,
mm-hmm.
again, they ran two thugs out of a nice neighborhood. I don't care how they did it. They got rid of these people. But the story, I think, as far as law enforcement's concerned, I keep going back to this tasing incident at Goodyear,
mm-hmm.
to where this poor guy that was having a heart attack, whatever, and we had some law enforcement official tased the guy three
mm-hmm.
times to get him out of the car, jumped on his chest, handcuffed the guy because he's having a heart attack, for
mm-hmm.
God's sake, and he died. The family has just filed suit.
I've seen where they're going to take depositions
yeah.
next month, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just a tiny, little teeny tiny article in the Cav
yeah.
Journal, and we give Judd, you know, front page, top of the fold coverage. And I think everybody's tired about reading about the Lamas brothers and their DUIs, marijuana possessions. I don't care what happens
mm-hmm.
to the Lamases. But I guess I've got an emotional connection to this Goodyear story because Walter Hake Jr., I knew his father.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine that if I have a heart attack and said, Nancy, for God's sake, don't call the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want somebody coming out handcuffing me and jumping on my chest if I'm having a heart attack and tasing me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why this story is not getting more attention.
Yeah.
There's got to be more to the story than meets the eye. But my, the way it reads. And these two deputies that tased Hake, Mr. Hake, and threw him on the ground, handcuffed him, jumped on his chest, which killed him, they were back to work within 30 days. Now, we've got four police officers that basically got into a gunfight with two thugs. They're still off work. It's been over a year.
Mm-hmm.
They're still off work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we put these two sheriff's deputies back to work. Because somebody died in that instance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Shawnee County, we might be staring down the barrel, pardon the pun, of a huge lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this one could get costly. You know, as far as Judd, I don't think the city, I don't think any jury is going to award anything to the Lamas brothers.
Yeah.
You know, the Lamases have been in just a wee bit of trouble since St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these aren't saints by any stretch of the imagination. But this other one, you know, the Shawnee County lawsuit, this could get expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've talked about on the show, Shawnee County, as they should, I think our county commissioners have made a good point of the fact that we are self-insuring. So if a judgment's awarded against Shawnee County, there's no insurance to cover the judgment.
Mm.
The insurance is we've got 150,000 people living in this community that's going to pick up the tab.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're looking at a $20 million judgment against Shawnee County by the Hake family, which conceivably could happen, that means the four of us sitting in this room have got to come up with the $20 million. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Lots happening.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. In fact, a lot more is going to happen later. We haven't given a plug to Coop the Plumber. We need to do that because he's one of our great sponsors. 267-4100. 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week plumbing and air conditioning service. Folks, again, don't forget your air conditioner, because Coop is one of the leading air conditioner repairers in Topeka as well. 267-4100. He does make weekend after-hour calls. He's sitting on the edge of his bed every Saturday night just waiting for you to call. Johnny on the spot. Yes, indeed. Fine human being. 267-4100, 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week service. Stay tuned. You're listening to Jim Cates at CJ Online.
CJOnline.com has been upgraded, and it's an entirely new way for you to experience your community.
More than ever, CJOnline.com has what you need when you need it.
As your morning starts, CJOnline.com is updated with overnight news, weather, and the morning buzz.
Throughout the day, they bring you developing stories, interaction, and commentary.
In the evening, they recap the day in news and sports and feature their local bloggers.
Experience the local news and sports at CJOnline.com.
Your 24/7 Northeast Kansas news connection.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Canada Drug of Topeka provides a safe and easy way of delivering prescriptions to your door and saving you money every day.
Are your medication costs spiraling out of control? Is Plan D really saving you any money once you reach the donut hole? For many of us, saving money on skyrocketing medication costs has become a vital way of controlling those tight monthly budgets. I'm Eric with Canada Drug. We're locally owned and operated, have been for over 5 years, serving your friends and neighbors, helping them save thousands of dollars yearly on essential prescription medications. To find out how you can have more medication at the end of your month for less money, call us at Canada Drug today, 785-272-6100, or visit us just east of Wanamaker on 17th, between Applebee's and McDonald's.
Saving for everybody, we're Canada Drug.
Canada Drug of Topeka. 272-6100.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJ Online, your source for interviews, community commentary, and news, live and online. Phone lines are now open at 295-1193 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, hey, the phone number is not 295-1193. The phone number, on-air number, is 295-1150. We've got to get that changed. Or if you want to email me, you can at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Good morning, Chad Harkness.
Good morning, Jim.
And good morning, Jeff Peterson.
Jim, how are you today?
Doing well. On a scale, we're going to get into healthcare at 9 o'clock. We have our weekly media roundtable where we have two representatives of the media that come in each and every week, and we talk about the top stories of the week, and healthcare seems to be on everybody's mind. Now, you all are in your 30s, Generation X, Y, I don't know what it is. What do you call yourselves? You're not
big. Well, I'm older than
Yeah, Jeff's much older.
Now, much older might be pushing it.
Yeah, you're not baby
maybe
boomers.
I'm not baby boomers yet.
Yeah.
No,
you're right. Younger than a baby boomer, and yeah. I'm part of the baby boomer generation. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you at your age, because you are younger than I am, about national health care? Do you, Jeff, pull your mic in just a little.
Okay.
Chad, I think you're okay. But on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, we're hearing a lot about this. You can't turn on a cable news channel for more than 5 minutes without seeing some town hall meeting somewhere. The Cab Journal's given this a lot of play, as it well should have. There were two columns, opinion columns, in the Cab Journal this morning on national health care. You know, it's all the national media is talking about.
Right.
But your age group, your perspective.
Well, I think there's a real concern, Jim, with health care, no doubt about it. And, you know, on a scale, I don't know, I'm probably concerned in a 6 or 7 area, possibly. You know, I think my comment to it, though, and maybe this decreases my concern, is that, in my opinion, our healthcare system is broken. To me, it's broken, and it's not, it's just not working well, and hasn't worked well. So you know what? It needs changed. I don't know if the new changes are the perfect answer, but my opinion is it needs change. So
Jeff,
you know what? Give it a chance.
It's broken. How is it broken in your mind? What's wrong with the current system we have in place?
Well,
have you been denied health coverage?
You know, not personally, but I certainly know a lot of people that get denied health coverage because of a pre-existing condition of some type. There's a lot of people that have been in those situations. The cost of health care, we all know, it just rises. You know, I'm a small business owner. It rises every single year.
Jeff, do you think government will be able to do it cheaper than the private sector when you're talking about cost? Now, are you looking at government to lower the cost of health care? You think that's what the result's going to be in your mind?
Well, you know, if it's not lowering, I would hope that with a little bit more potential government control, if you want to call that, that there would be more at least leveling it off, and that you don't see this continued, you know, 10, 15, 20% increase or more every single year that I see as a small business owner.
Okay. You bring up one interesting point. Well, they were all interesting. I mean, it's not that you're duller than dirt. You're not.
But there's first time for everything.
Pre-existing conditions. You know, you've got a good point, and I think that's a very valid one that we're all concerned about, regardless of where we are, you know, on this health care debate, because we've got to address pre-existing conditions. I certainly agree with you there. Chad Harkness, how about you? How concerned are you about this whole health care debate?
I guess I just bothers me. I don't really need the government telling me who I can go to. You know, I guess I can make a better decision. I feel like I can make a better decision than the government as to who I want to see.
Now, pull your mic in just a little closer. Okay, so you're basically saying federal government, stay out of it. We
yes.
don't need your involvement.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, you haven't had any problems with our current system.
No.
Okay.
No, I have not.
Okay. It's going to be interesting to see where all of this ends up because, you know, this has become such an emotionally charged issue in this country. You know, the people that are showing up, you know, for these town hall meetings. Now, I can't think of anything duller. They're going to hear Todd Tehart or Lynn Jenkins, you know, for 2 hours talking about health insurance.
Yes.
But having said that, you know, both of which had virtually a turnaway crowd. Overflow crowd showed up yesterday here to hear Todd Tehart for 2 hours, and the day before, Lynn Jenkins for 2 hours.
Right.
And they were talking about health care, for God's sake. 2 hours?
Wow.
You know, 10 minutes on Fox or MSNBC and
it's
CNN
plenty. Is more than enough.
I guess my mind's pretty much made up, and but that's one of the things we're going to be talking about.
Oh, yeah, it's an interesting subject. That, yeah, there's no easy answers to it, that's for sure. And you know, and I, you know, like Chad's point, I understand that, too, that we want our, you know, have our own decisions. And I think, you know, that's one of the things, too, that there's, you know, a lot of us here that has the opportunity to have those, you know, can make those decisions. But, of course, there's a lot that either through financial reasons or because of pre-existing conditions and things like that, don't have those types of choices. And that's where the battle, you know, that's where the battleground.
Yeah, and, you know, it gets into all kinds of ethical questions, and we're going to get into this at 9 o'clock with Jim Ogle and John Arnold. But I'm just intrigued, I guess, by the ethical questions on all of this. Trish and I were talking earlier, I think before you came in or maybe you were here. You know, what do you do with somebody that's been juicing it up, you know, all of their lives, haven't worked a day in their life, been living off the government, and now they're 80 years old and they need a liver transplant? Now, if government's involved with the bleeding hearts, it concerns me that we're going to spend, you know, that $75,000-$80,000, whatever a liver transplant cost, because what the heck, it's just taxpayer money. But if it was the private sector is possibly, well, an 80-year-old that's been juicing it up all their life probably didn't have insurance anyway. But ethically, what do you do with somebody that's post 80? And I know there's some concern, you know, for those of us that are on the right getting into, you know, Obama's death squads, as they've been referenced, that, you know, the end of a life consultations. But still, I think there's a point to be made there that, you know, you get to a certain point in life, a certain age, that should we be looking at heart transplants and liver transplants and what have you for somebody that is truly in their declining, in their golden years? I don't know. It's a tough
There's
one.
There's no
you know,
easy answer for that. I have no idea.
Those are tough questions. No doubt about it. Yeah, elective surgeries, you know, a knee replacement. In fact, Trish brought that up. Her mother is going in for a knee replacement at 80. And Trish's mother apparently is the picture of health other than a knee replacement. Well, Trish's mother's on, you know, some type of private insurance, I'm sure. But, you know, if government got involved in that, I don't know. Then government's got to make some tough calls.
Right.
You know, should we allow somebody that's 90? My parents are 94. And I don't think my parents need to be going in for knee replacements at 94 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But all kinds of ethical questions. And so, I don't know.
There's no easy answer.
Well, let's talk about why you're here.
Sure. Oh, we're not here for the for the health care debate.
The 10th annual Harley Party is coming up. And what does the Harley Party do? Now, you're going to raise a lot of money. You're selling tickets to win a Harley for $30 a pop. And I think virtually every year you sold out on tickets.
They're close, yeah.
Now,
all the money goes to the Boys and Girls Club of Topeka.
This is a Boys and Girls Club fundraiser.
Yes. Right. This is our big fundraiser of the year. And this is our 10th annual party. And, yes, we always have a good turnout. $30 gets you dinner, a couple drink tickets, and a chance to win a new Harley-Davidson Sportster.
Okay, now, Harley-Davidson Sportster sells for what? If you win, you're winning a prize.
They're in the $8,000 to $9,000 range for a brand new Sportster.
Really?
I'm not a Harley expert, but I know that they're in that area. And Topeka Harley Davidson, works with us to help us provide that motorcycle, and American Family Insurance is one of our really main sponsors that kind of underwrites the motorcycle as well, to make it, you know, to where we can have that available at the party.
Wow.
So the big change this year, there's probably been a lot of people, maybe a lot of listeners that have been to the Harley Party. This is our 10th year, so which is unbelievable
it's been
10 years. And unfortunately, to show my age, I've been involved with every one of them. But this year we are making a change. I think after, you know, a period of time, you need to make some changes. And we're working with Rob down at Jeremiah Bullfrogs.
Bullfrogs Live.
Yeah, the one on Huntoon and Gage.
Huntoon and Gage.
Yeah, and it will actually take place there at that location versus where we'd had it at the Ag Hall at the Expo Center in the past.
In fact, you've had it at the Harley dealership, I think.
We started there, right? We started there for
two or three years.
The first couple
years.
Yeah.
And then it moved. It got really too large for that area right there at Harley-Davidson. We moved it to the Ag Hall, and now we're changing it up. We're going to be at Jeremiah Bullfrogs. That entire, at Huntoon and Gage, that entire lower-level parking lot will be closed off. We'll have a large tent there, a stage. We're going to have a band playing music. We'll have a beer garden area. And then you'll go into the Bullfrogs Live area, like where they have the comedians and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the food buffet from Johnny Carino's will be in there. So a full Italian buffet. And then we're going to have a lot of auction items in there that you can bid on as well.
Rob Fadley, the owner, and I might point out, Rob is a sponsor of the show. And Jeremiah Bullfrog sponsors this show at 29th and Wanamaker, and I have been known to frequent Jeremiah Bullfrog.
I've never seen you there, Jim. Never. What are you talking about?
That's a surprise, Jim.
Yeah. Chad and I have never seen you in there.
29th and Wanamaker, folks, again, if you're looking, speaking of food, I want to give them a quick plug. If you like hot, spicy chili, and there's a big if there. If you like it hot and spicy, there's no better in the world to be had anywhere than Jeremiah Bullfrog. Same with their tiger wings. Again, if you like hot, spicy tiger wings, Jeremiah Bullfrog's 29th and Wanamaker has the best, without a doubt. And I'm sure they do at Bullfrog's Life. I never
yes,
go to Bullfrog's
do.
Life.
Yeah, they do.
I haven't been in there, and Lord knows, I don't know. There's a big difference between Bullfrog's Life and Jeremiah Bullfrog's anymore. Bullfrog's Life is known for live entertainment.
Correct.
In fact, in the Best of Topeka contest, they were named the best bar in Northeast Kansas
right.
as an entertainment venue.
Mm-hmm.
So wanted to give them a quick plug.
Sure.
Who's going to be the band on the 29th?
Midnight Review. And they're more of an 80s, 90s rock and roll band.
Okay.
A lot of fun. They play occasionally out at Bullfrog's on the weekends.
Okay.
Have a good following, good turnout. Good following with them.
So that would be classic rock?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of classic rock.
That's yeah.
Okay. I think they mix it up and play a lot of different types of music. So
yeah.
Should be a great time. We'll have a dance area there, you know, outside in the parking lot. And
okay.
So we're excited about the change of venue, and we think it's really going to make it exciting. Rob, who also is a Harley enthusiast, believes that a lot of the Harley people that drive Harley Davidsons will come out there and park their Harleys outside in that, you know, right outside that parking lot area, and they like to do that for events, and people can go around and check
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we encourage,
the
Harley riders to bring their Harleys
out. Bring their Harleys, come out. Yep, exactly. So please do that. This is an important, very important fundraiser for us, and it's a fun time, and it's different, but it's a very important fundraiser.
Well, I know, in the past, the way that you determine the winner of the Harley, I guess you're going to do it the same way.
Yes.
You just keep drawing tickets. There's 1,000 tickets.
And
you
we
keep
just
drawing
continue.
Losing tickets. Yeah.
Yes.
You've got number 998. You don't win, and you just work your way down.
Yes. Right,
to where somebody ultimately is going
to win
the winner of the Harley.
Yeah.
And you get down to, 10 or less tickets, and then what
we get
happens?
Down to 10. And
then you can sell your ticket off.
You can
off.
Sell your
we
ticket
bring
off
10.
To somebody else.
Yeah, we'll bring those 10 up on stage, and then they kind of do a bidding war if anybody wants to do a, put in a bid for one of those tickets. Then one of those, somebody up on stage can make a decision that they want to sell, they want to sell their tickets for that.
Yeah.
Half that money they would keep for themselves. The other half, if somebody bids $500 for a ticket, $250 would go to that person. $250 would go towards the event and the club.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how we do it. So
that's
it's kind of fun.
Stuff.
Yeah. It makes it a lot more fun than just picking a name out.
Yeah.
You know,
and
picking a number out of the hat.
Every year, somebody wants to sell their ticket, or several people want to sell their ticket. It's fun.
Well,
it's fun
seeing
how people react to that.
Yeah, that adds kind of a theatrical aspect to it, where it's fun to watch.
Yes.
For
everybody,
even the non-winners, just to watch the 10 people and the interaction on stage.
Definitely.
That's what makes it fun. Now, there are tickets still available. I know every year you've either sold out or have come very close to selling
correct.
Out
right.
on the tickets. There are still tickets available today.
Yes.
Okay.
You can get the tickets at the Harley-Davidson shop.
All right.
You
and
can also go to...
First in Topeka Boulevard.
Correct.
Okay.
And then Jeremiah Bullfrog's Live at Huntoon and Gage.
Uh-huh.
And you can also get them online.
Yeah, the website right here.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's www.bgc, Boys and Girls Club, Topeka, bgctopeka.org.
Correct.
Okay,
yep,
now, if you went out to the Boys and Girls Club, 28th and Adams, can you get pickup tickets there?
We would not be selling them there, no.
Okay,
not
okay.
at that facility. However, you could come to our administrative offices, Boys and Girls Administrative Offices, which are actually in the same building my business is at, upstairs. At they're at 2150 Southwest Westport Drive, right in front of Smid Lumber there. You can go there and purchase them as well.
Okay.
But of course, we've got several outfits, so Bullfrogs or Harley Davis or at the Harley Topeka Harley Davidson. Those are probably two of the easiest places to pick them up, or go online and order them. So,
okay.
Any of those places you can get them.
All right.
Or call Chad.
Or call Chad. Yeah.
Now, real quick,
if you know Chad, call Chad. Chad his Harkin cell phone Chad. Is
806-1090. Right?
Very good, Jim.
806. Oh, you're going to be getting all kinds of crank phone calls, prank calls.
And a Prudential real estate agent, I might add. You're a Prudential
yes,
real
sir.
Yeah,
so if you need to sell a house, then call. Go ahead and call Chad on
absolutely.
His cell phone.
That would be great. I'd appreciate it.
Have been for several years. Okay, now, how many kids are helped through the Boys and Girls Club of Topeka? You know, again, this is the major fundraiser. This is the biggie
yes.
for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Topeka.
Yeah, we serve over 4,000 kids here in the community, Jim. And, okay. We still are trying to do a lot to educate the community on the Boys and Girls Club. Probably one of the biggest things that we run into all the time is that people get us mixed up with Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Are you Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and mm-hmm. Girls Club?
Get that all
no,
the time.
No, we're totally...
Similarity in the names, yeah.
There's some similarities in the names, and people, I think, feel like we do the same thing. But we're actually... We're trying to accomplish a lot of the same things, but we're doing it in a very different way. One reason this is so important and just general donations are so important to us is that, you know, we're really... trying to service the underprivileged youth. Like our summer program, a child can be at our summer program from, 7:30 in the morning until 6 at night,
mm-hmm.
includes lunch. And, we're talking about a price of about $130 for the parents for the entire summer is their cost. $130
wow.
for the whole summer for us to provide a place for them to go to learn, computer lab, educational center, of course, the gymnasium, we have a game center, and all different...
The 90% plus of your kids are going to be latchkey kids.
Yeah.
Where dad's probably out of the picture in a lot of cases. Mom's got to work.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of
so,
times, yeah.
I mean,
it's a place for them to go. And then we have the full summer program, and then, of course...
protected environment
yep.
for kids.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we do it after school as well, at our Adams facility. Mm-hmm. And now we are up north, in North Topeka. That's where our newest facility is, and we've taken the Indian Creek Elementary School up there.
Where's that?
It is at 43rd and Topeka Boulevard. It's yeah, it's quite a bit out there, north. But, what they've reorganized all of the Siemens schools starting this year, and Indian Creek is one of the schools that closed, grade school. And so we had a summer program there all summer that went very, very well, and we will have an after-school program there. So kids will be able to come there, and we'll be busing some in. Siemens helping us with this as well, busing children to the Indian Creek. Also at Logan, which will now become a grade school, had been more of a middle school before, junior high, those facilities for sure, maybe even another, will have an after-school program from, 3 to 7 o'clock every day during the week where kids can come to do their homework, play games, all kinds of different programs, game rooms. So it's a place for, again, just as you said, for kids to go and not be coming home to nobody at home. Sitting around or getting in trouble.
Again,
so.
Just the protection and the safe environment.
Yes.
Okay, now, this is going to be August the 29th. And, folks, if you haven't participated before, it's a fun event. Again, we're helping the Boys and Girls Clubs of Topeka. We're helping 4,000 kids.
It starts at 6 p.m.
Where they're directionless out there now. This way they're structured, they're protected. It's a great program. I know we've been doing this for 10 years
yeah.
on the show. Who's the president now of the Boys and Girls Club? Nordstrom?
Colleen Jennison.
Yep, with Cox.
Oh, okay,
yep.
Sure.
With Cox Communications. Colleen is I know one of our, I don't know if she's our very first woman president. If she's not, we haven't had one for a long time.
And she's a go-getter.
She's a go-getter. She's doing a wonderful, wonderful job to lead us right now. And, things are going very well.
Mark Nordstrom was the president last year.
He has been in the last
few years.
In the last few years, yeah.
Is Dave Mudrick president?
Who's that?
Dave Mudrick.
That would have been a few years ago because I've been involved for 10 or 11 years.
I've been president
a couple times.
Yep.
And. Matt Billingsley, I don't know if you're familiar with
sure,
Matt.
Yeah, sure.
Probably, maybe his wife's been on the show before talking. I don't know.
Debbie,
but yep.
Okay.
So,
good luck.
Yep,
one
thank
other,
you. One
say, other thing,
yep.
Jim. We're doing a live remote with 94 Country tonight out there at Jeremiah Bullfrogs Live from 6 to 8.
Okay.
So we will have tickets available and also some specials on tickets. So come out and enjoy a nice beer and the nice evening and a band out there on the patio.
Somebody much better looking than you two is going to be in here in a couple of minutes.
All right. So, well, we might have to stay then.
Okay, and again, the annual Harley Party, 10th anniversary to help the Boys and Girls Club. Folks, check it out. And if you need any more information, check it out at Bullfrogs Live, or you can give me a call, 295-1150. Email me, jim.cates@cgonline.com. We'll be glad to give you the information. Stay tuned. More to come.
Thanks, Jim.
CJOnline.com has been upgraded, and it's an entirely new way for you to experience your community.
More than ever, CJOnline.com has what you need when you need it.
As your morning starts, CJOnline.com is updated with overnight news, weather, and the morning buzz.
Throughout the day, they bring you developing stories, interaction, and commentary.
In the evening, they recap the day in news and sports and feature their local bloggers.
Experience the local news and sports at CJOnline.com.
Your 24/7 Northeast Kansas News Connection.
Go. Topeka Collegiate, Topeka's only independent school, treats every child as gifted. Each student is encouraged to excel in a caring, small class learning environment guided by humanitarian principles. At Topeka Collegiate, children fall in love with learning. Enrollment is limited. Call 228-0490 or visit our website at topekacollegiate.org. Topeka Collegiate School, educating children for life.
Excuse me, why are you saving those old eyeglasses? You know the ones, stuck away in the desk drawer, haven't been worn in years. Yeah, those. You should donate them to your local Lions Club. Lions Clubs have been collecting used eyeglasses for years. They'll take your old eyeglasses and recycle them for someone in need of proper eyewear. Call your local Lions Club for information on where you can donate your old eyeglasses. Lions Clubs International. We serve.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJ Online, your source for interviews, community commentary, and news, live and online. Phone lines are now open at 295-1193 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we are back. Ah, there's my paper. Barb Hollingsworth and I are talking about a story. Steve Johnson, this would be fun. Damon Reed, I've known for many, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Personality plus. I mean, this is one outgoing little rascal. And tonight, you can pick up, what, $100 if you can knock Damon Reed out.
Yeah, it's, what is it called? It's the Knockout Dangerous Damon Reed Contest. It's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night,
yeah. So, and the best part about it, I think, is that he can't hit back, but you can hit him. So. Right. Which obviously makes the odds a whole lot better for going up against a professional boxer.
Yeah, all of your frustrations.
Absolutely, absolutely. He said he's done it twice before and no one's ever knocked him out. But he had one guy, he said, kind of got him. But apparently he had his own prize money up, so he was less willing to take the fall then.
Well, so
he held it together.
This was under Steve Johnson's byline.
Steve Thompson, yeah.
Steve Thompson. But these are the type of stories you're covering now. You know,
all
for
the
years,
time.
You were sitting in Board of Education meetings.
A lot of school board meetings. A lot of school board meetings.
This would be a lot more fun to talk about.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. We've been to
That's what you're doing now with Topeka.net.
Yeah, Topeka.net. We're kind of a sister of the Capital Journal, and we're putting together these real specialty websites. And I think one of our favorites is Splash because it just covers the nightlife scene. And we, you know, anytime there's a new bar or a club that opens, we go check it out. And it's there's been a lot. In fact, there was this one that opened.
Anytime there's a new bar or club that opens up.
We're on it.
And you get to check it out.
Yeah, it's a tough job.
Do you need any help?
You could be one of our. You could be our research assistant.
I could be the resourcer, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Like you could you could check it out and.
What a life.
Yeah. It.
How did you end up with this assignment?
You know, I just got asked if I wanted to do it, so. Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. So, yeah, there's this place that I've
I want to go sit in on a three-hour Seaman board?
Board of Education meeting?
Education meeting, or do
talk
I
talk about budgets
and
mill levies and...
Although, hey, I do want to give credit real in passing to Seaman. They actually lowered the mill levy this year, so...
That's good. And 5-1, they're steady, right?
Yes. Topeka.net, a lot is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're involved, you and Steve Thompson, Fed Alton, I think, is involved
as
well.
Yeah, Jeff Davis and Mike Napier.
Jeff Davis and Davis. And you're involved in creating something just basically from scratch.
Yeah, it's creating this community and all this great information. So you can go, like, if you go to our Splash website, you can go and you find all the bars and the clubs in town. But you can also go and just get like the latest stories about what's happening and what concerts are coming up, and so it's cool for that. And it's not just the nightlife one we put a lot of time into, but I was just before I walked over here I was reading the latest blog from one of our bloggers on our church website, holyground.topeka.net. And we have all of these community people who have a lot of times these really insightful things that they have to say about religion and faith, and sometimes it's just their own faith walk, and sometimes they're relating it. This person in particular is relating it to the healthcare debate, which I thought was really interesting to read. So we have kind of our hands on all the different pieces of the pie, and then we also we just relaunched our Food and Flicks website, so it has stories on it now, or before
now,
it was just kind of a directory.
Okay. That basically is a review. Well, not a review. I guess it kind of is, isn't it? All the restaurants and bars in Topeka, there's coupons.
Yeah, there's coupons, and actually you can go there, you can figure out, you know, your favorite restaurant, when they're open, when they close. You can check out some of the specials at different places. If you're looking for a place that you've never been before, I've gone to so many different places just by going to that website and kind of, like, earlier this week, Tim Richard and I went over to Bradley's Corner Cafe. I'd never been there before. It's fabulous. So, but you can learn about all these places that maybe you've never tried out before. Plus, we have a food blog around there, so she kind of introduces different places. I know one person I work with went over to Ice and Olives this week. It's a place over by Lake Shawnee. Ice and Olives.
What is it?
It's this fancy gourmet little shop, and you can get sandwiches there. And he went over there because he read about I think it was the Cuban sandwich that our food blogger reviewed. Plus, we've got, you know.
What's a Cuban sandwich?
Oh, gosh, I got to read back over it. Apparently, it's extremely delicious.
Huh. I've never heard of Ice and Olives. Well, we have now.
Well, you have to try it out. See, it's a great place to find out about all those places that you've never been before. So, and the other person that's on, we have two other people on there. Greg Fox, who's the chef and owner of Row House Restaurant,
mm-hmm.
He blogs, so you can read about his kind of take of working in the kitchen and find out what his favorite cookbooks are, and he just gives some great information about what he does. And Joe Zima, I don't know if you know him, but
sure.
he used to be the 501. School district attorney,
he's
been a movie reviewer for years on WABW. He's doing some reviews for us, so you can read his take on the movies. Which he says that you may not go to a movie because he likes it necessarily, but people tend to know, like, if Joe likes it, I'll like it, or if Joe likes it, I'm going to hate it. So then they can base their movie going preference.
I'm not a big
often.
Movie aficionado. In fact, we just watched The Rose for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that was out in 1979.
It takes you a while
and
to get around to it.
I just saw it, yeah, last week. Not a bad movie.
Well, good.
It's going to go places.
Yeah. I think it will.
Bette Midler might have a future.
You could do like retro reviews for us.
Or bar reviews.
Bar reviews, excellent.
Reviews I could do. In fact, I tried to get a friend of mine, the Coors Distributor, basically to organize, you know, they've had Kansas Sampler, Marshall
uh-huh.
Penner. you know, the best bowling alley in Kansas, somebody that tours the state and bowls in all the bowling alleys, somebody that's been in every county, the best restaurant to be found, the best hamburger in 105 counties.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a 105 county bar tour. Well, I ran into all kinds of problems. I'm not sure how excited management would be here if I did that, but just the liability.
Yeah.
You know, of hitting 105 counties. I think by the time...
You'd have to pace yourself.
Yeah, you would. By the time you hit county 104, you might be a little over .08, so I don't know. Nobody was excited about the idea but me. But, again, you know, for somebody to do that, you know, to review somebody that does go out and hit the entertainment scene, the bar scene, I guess they would be welcome to blog on.
Well, yeah, and anyone can go on there and comment on any bar or restaurant they want to. So if you have a place that you went to that you liked or maybe you didn't like, you can go on there and post your own comments about the place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how do you get to that?
Okay, so the three ones we have up right now, they're all Topeka.net, which pretty soon will have its own home. Right now it kind of feeds into one of the sites, but it's splash.topeka.net, and that's our entertainment site. And then if you're wanting to go the saint side, the church site, that's holyground.topeka.net, and then the food one is food.topeka.net.
But eventually you'll be able to go to Topeka.net,
mm-hmm.
and then all of these sites, you're going to have your choice of what site to go to from there.
Yeah, and if you're a big CJ Online person, which I know a lot of people are.
Listen to this show, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to the main CJ Online page, you can go over to the right side of that page, and there are links to all those sites. So.
What's coming next?
What's coming next? We've got a park thing in the works, and... we kind of take it like one piece at a time. So I think everything's just going to be along that line of things that kind of knit the community together and bring these kind of varied interests and put a lot of information out there for them.
Yeah, you know, there's so many paths you can go down.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, tourist destination sites in Topeka. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm thinking of the Curtis Home and the Ward Mead Park or whatever they're calling it now. It's not Ward Mead. Always will be Ward Mead to me.
But you can go eat there, too.
Prairie Town or Pioneer Village. What's it called?
What do they call it? Yeah. I always just call it Ward Mead.
Well, me too. John Arnold is Prairie Town. John Arnold says it's Prairie Town.
Well.
Now John knows.
We'll go.
John knows.
We'll go with him.
let's do that. You comfortable with Prairie Town?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay, Trish. All right. You all know.
That's what it is.
But there's so many sites like that as well. You know, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, the possibilities are just limitless.
Absolutely. So we're trying to hit things that are going to have a decent, you know, good interest level. And so I think people will be hearing a lot more about this as it grows. And
Best of Topeka, you know, the interest there is on voting for your best restaurant, the best steak, the best buffet, the best this, the best that.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous interest on the has been over the past 15 years in the Best of Topeka contest.
Yeah.
Is that the most popular site now? Would be the restaurant site more so than...
the restaurant site's been around longer, so, it probably gets more traffic than it... Plus, it's, you know, everyone goes out to eat, and so that's going to make it just naturally a more, you know, common site to hit. But I think, I think the other ones are building some traffic, so...
I know years ago we had somebody on from Visit Topeka, I think it was called the Convention and Visitors Bureau at the time. And they said on a per capita basis, this is one of the leading cities in the country as far as people going out to eat.
Well, there's so many places to go, and there's so many great places to go in this town. And little, like, that's the one thing I love about the Food and Flicks is that there are just so many, like, little quirky places that you wouldn't think of to go and you can find there. Like, you know, like, you can go get ice cream. Speaking of Ward Mead, you can go over there and get ice cream in their little shop over
the
there.
Drugstore over there, yeah.
Great. If no one's been over to do that, that's one of my favorite spots. And like I said, Bradley's Corner Cafe, I went over there for the first time.
Well, it's ice and olives for a Cuban sandwich.
Ice and olives,
whatever a Cuban sandwich is. I've never heard
of it. And very nice. Their food's just very, very nice. And, you know, we have a Bosco's on there. They have a really nice lunch that's just a little bit fancier. So that's kind of neat. You know, I think people who go there will find, especially if you get tired of, like, eating at the same places and you're just not sure. One story I'm working on right now that I think will run pretty quick here is a roundup of all the gas stations in town where you can get food, which I just think it's, I think it's funny. You know, that gas and shop over there, just north of the river, just north of Topeka Boulevard Bridge.
Well, gas is always cheaper, it seems like, by 2 cents a gallon.
Yeah, yeah. So they sell, you would be shocked at how much biscuits and gravy they sell there. It's amazing. They said they go through like 18 or 20 gallons of gravy on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Well, Kelly Express, you know, I stopped by Kelly Express at 10th and Wanamaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in there usually about 5:45 in the morning on my way to work down here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many people are getting biscuits and gravy, as you say, out of a quick shop.
Yeah.
Kelly Express, Lord knows how many biscuits and gravy boxes they go through over the course of a morning. But there's construction workers lined up 3 and 4 deep every morning at 5:45.
Yeah, they do a great business of food. Or, you know, Larry Shortstop and...
Larry Shortstop would be another one. Petro Deli. North.
Yeah, Petro Deli. And then there's this one that's fairly new, Tim's Pit Stop. It's kind of further south on Topeka Boulevard, and apparently they do some great meatloaf over there. So,
Barb, fun stuff. You've got a fun job.
Yeah.
This would be exciting.
Yeah, it's a different look at town.
We'll do this. We'll try to do this once a month or so.
Excellent.
Just
thank
you
for having me.
We'll get an update on what's going on CJ Online. Topeka.net, folks. And again, this is just it's something that's just a project in the works.
It's constantly, in the works.
Constantly.
It will
changing,
constantly be in the
updating,
works.
And, yeah. So it's kind of a cool site. Okay, John Arnold with the Metro News on deck. Jim Ogle, I just got an email from Jim. He's coming in, but he's going to be a little late this morning. And, we're going to be talking about some of the top stories of the week. National health insurance. In fact, Barb, real quick, you're a little younger than I am. Just a wee bit.
Just a tad.
A tad.
Who on a scale of 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. How important is this whole national health care debate to you?
To me?
Yeah. Do you flip it over and watch Andy Griffith reruns if you've got O'Reilly or Anderson Cooper or whoever talking about national health insurance, or are you really into the story?
You know, I know a lot of people are real worried about this right now. I guess I've covered a lot of this legislative stuff enough to know that it grinds on fairly slowly, so I guess I'm not obsessing too much on the details right now because I figure a lot of this stuff is gonna change so much from where it is right now that it's
subject
hard
to change.
Yeah, you know, it's just so hard to know where these things are gonna land. So
yeah. Okay.
All right. Hey, thanks.
See you soon. Okay, Trish Johnston and the news straight ahead. Stay tuned. You're listening to Jim Cates at CJ Online.
Good morning. Here's just a look at news you can read in more detail in the Topeka Capital Journal and on CJ Online. A strong stream of anti-government sentiment flowed again in the Topeka Town Hall meeting conducted Thursday by Representative Todd Tehart, the 4th District Republican vying to replace Sam Brownback in the U.S. Senate. The second Topeka Town Hall meeting, as in many days, was again peaceful and packed, as spectators who couldn't fit into the auditorium at the Topeka Shawnee County Public Library listened to the meeting in an adjacent cafeteria for the second consecutive day, concerned about government intervention into the lives of Americans, become a dominant theme. The Shawnee County Health Agency Community Health Center is hoping to build a new $2.2 million clinic at 2049 Southeast California to replace the Hillcrest Clinic and the Hillcrest Recreation Center. The Shawnee County Commission purchased the vacant lot at Southeast California, making it possible for the health agency to apply for federal stimulus facilities investment program grant to build the new 6,000 to 7,000 square foot facility. A Topeka fire official was taken to a local hospital Thursday afternoon after the department vehicle the person was riding in and a passenger car collided at a downtown intersection. Stephen Brooks, the driver of the car, said he was exiting Interstate 70 at Southeast 3rd Street exit and driving south into Southeast Monroe Street shortly before 2 p.m. Meanwhile, a fire department sports utility vehicle was driving west on Southeast 4th Street. I had a green light and I didn't even hear them coming, Brooks said. I looked up and they were about 10 feet away and boom. The Topeka police were on the scene, as were Shawnee County Sheriff deputies and the Topeka fire investigators. They didn't immediately release any details about the accident, but Brick said he thinks the sirens and lights on the SUV were operating. Sunny to partly cloudy skies today, a high of 91. A few clouds overnight and a low of 68. Stay tuned for Jim Cates at CJ Online.
CJOnline.com has been upgraded, and it's an entirely new way for you to experience your community.
More than ever, CJOnline.com has what you need when you need it.
As your morning starts, CJOnline.com is updated with overnight news, weather, and the morning buzz.
Throughout the day, they bring you developing stories, interaction, and commentary.
In the evening, they recap the day in news and sports and feature their local bloggers.
Experience the local news and sports at CJOnline.com.
Your 24/7 Northeast Kansas news connection.
Topeka Collegiate, Topeka's only independent school, treats every child as gifted. Each student is encouraged to excel in a caring, small class learning environment guided by humanitarian principles. At Topeka Collegiate, children fall in love with learning. Enrollment is limited. Call 228-0490 or visit our website at topekacollegiate.org. Topeka Collegiate School, educating children for life.
Excuse me, why are you saving those old eyeglasses? You know the ones, stuck away in the desk drawer, haven't been worn in years. Yeah, those. You should donate them to your local Lions Club. Lions Clubs have been collecting used eyeglasses for years. They'll take your old eyeglasses and recycle them for someone in need of proper eyewear. Call your local Lions Club for information on where you can donate your old eyeglasses. Lions Clubs International. We serve.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJ Online, your source for interviews, community commentary, and news, live and online. Phone lines are now open at 295-1193 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Get our mics turned up. Okay, we're back.
Are we back?
Just got a call from Randy Currie, our former fire chief. You know,
yeah,
Randy,
I know
well.
Randy very well.
Yes, indeed.
Good fire chief.
Well, apparently he's been on Ice and Olives, which sits somewhere around 29th and Croco.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that's what I understand.
Yeah, and Randy said, you know, you and I need to get over to the east side more often.
It's true. I think that's the place that somebody said was also bringing in bread from wheat fields in Lawrence. That's really a good bread bakery place. We have our own here, of course, in Panera and some others. But
now, I didn't keep Randy on the phone that long. Would that be in the Thunderbird Square Shopping Center then? Absolute Design by Brenda is in there, a florist. Brenda sponsored the show for several months when she was kicking off her florist shop. And there's a small Mexican restaurant in there. It sits right behind McBee's. It must be in that shopping center.
Must be, but...
which means it's within eyesight of the $8 million Little League Ball complex we now have, courtesy of the Shawnee County taxpayers.
Did, you know, they, John, also, did they decide to build that?
Yes.
Did they?
And that was a 3-0 vote, by the way. Oh. $8 million. And now, John Arnold, we've got our Shawnee County commissioners quibbling over $55,000 to fund to Keep America Beautiful. And by the way, Randy Curry, I know, volunteers virtually every weekend to pick up trash for Keep America Beautiful, as do 500 other people off and on during the course of the year. We have Safe Streets that was partially funded by our Shawnee County commissioners. Mm-hmm. And apparently funding could be cut off for Safe Streets and Keep America Beautiful as well. $55,000. That's it. Now, when you put that in perspective of spending $8 million to build another Little League baseball diamond that's going to be carpeted, artificial turf, and I think they're going to put in a soccer field or something else out there as well, and we're quibbling over $55,000.
Well, partly it's the difference, Jim, though, is The county can issue bonds to build the ball field, and they will be paid off over the next 20 years by future
taxpayers.
Future taxpayers. And the $55,000 is annual this year and next year and so on, coming out of the operating cost, the general
fund. So if it's bonded, it's okay, but if we have to pay cash for it, it's not?
They take a little different look at the bonds, yeah. And, you know, they're also looking at another $4 million worth of bonds for streets, was it?
But isn't it all taxpayer money?
It is, but you can do something. It's interesting, Jim. I took a look at this. When the city changed the form of government back in 1985 from commission to mayor-council, the council at the time determined that they were well behind in infrastructure, and so they issued a whole bunch of bonds over the next few years, several bonds. And I did a little studying on how much of that was paid off initially. You know, like if you issue a bond this year, you start paying it off next year. I mean, that's the way to do it. Well, a lot of those bonds from 85, 86, 87 but were ballooned, set up so that they wouldn't start paying back the principal for 5 or 10 years. And that's kind of pushing things off on other people. And as a consequence, when I came to the city and...
This wasn't a straight amortization?
No. A lot
really?
Of those bonds were not done that way. That's correct.
Really?
And...
So in other words, a $10 million bond back in 1985, we were paying the interest only on that bond for a 3, 4, or 5 year period, and then we started paying the principal?
Correct.
In other words, the elected officials that basically approved that initial $10 million expense, they were going to be dead and gone by the time we started making payments on the principal.
Well, that's...
So they were throwing the indebtedness on future elected officials.
Exactly. And when I got in here and we started looking at the budget, and Mayor Wagnon was in charge and she wanted to do some projects, and we started looking at things and saying, hey, folks, next year we have a problem in that some of these bonded debt payments go up. And as a consequence, we didn't have as much room in the ability to do financing.
General Rick Anderson just joined us.
Hello, Rick.
Hi there.
I don't know whether you were aware of this or not. You know, I've been involved in this community for, Lord, back when Alf Landon was governor. But John was informing me that when we changed our form of government, when John Arnold came on board, we were talking about bonded indebtedness for the city. John, explained to us what type of bonds we were issuing back in 1986. To me, this is a shocker. And again, I want to spend a little more time on this. How many of these type of bonds are we issuing today? But let's bring Rick Anderson up to speed.
Well, I did a little study of this, Jim, some years ago. In fact, I've got it in my file on my computer. I'm sure it's still there someplace, of the history of what all happened. And I don't remember the numbers because I haven't looked at that in several years. But I do remember that back in after the former government changed in 85 to mayor-council from commission, the council felt like that they had a backlog of infrastructure needs, and so they issued a lot of bonds over the next several years. And in many of them, they ballooned it so that they didn't initially begin paying back the principal, but they pushed the principal payments off some years.
So in other words, they were selling the voters on the fact that they were issuing this $10 million bond, that a repayment schedule for the next 5 years was going to be $50,000 a year. But year number six, that $50,000 a year became $150,000 a year because now we had to start working on the principal. John, there's something...
I don't know how they sold it, Jim.
Very, very wrong with this concept.
Well, it's...
Now, are we still doing that today?
Oh, I don't think so. We never did when I was there, and I can't believe that they're doing that today either. City or county, I don't know. I don't know about the county. I've not taken a look. But you're usually...
But that was standard operating procedure back in the mid-80s.
I don't know if it was standard or not, but they sure did some of
it. Were balloon type of bond issuances.
They did some of it, and I can't tell you that every bond issue was done that way. I don't remember. But there was quite a lot of it. And that came home, 15 years or so later. Yeah. And
certainly would.
It was not a good thing to do, and it's not something that any financial advisor would advise you to do nowadays. And I don't even know if you can sell the bonds that way anymore. Jim, given the...
Would it be legal to sell bonds like that? You know, I think you're really pulling the wool over the taxpayers' eyes, aren't you, as far as just creating this future humongous indebtedness. If you're going for 5 years on a 20-year bond where you're paying the interest only, now you've only got 15 years left, 15 to go, to start working on the principal. Wow.
Well,
you know, just the obligation on down the road, five, 6 years down the road, if you're continuing to issue this type of bonds. Because, again, you're cutting off 5 years of that 20-year bond.
Sure.
To where you're not making any payments on the principal, which means 5 years down the road. Wow. I mean, that number is really going to jump in terms of that annual payment that you've got to make.
And let's say you issued one bond
to liquidate the bond.
In year one, another bond in year two, another bond in year three, another four and five. And you push them each out 5 years, you get 5 years down the road. And all of a sudden, those principal payments have piled up on you. That's the kind of situation
we
ran
into. You're not amortizing that principal payment over 20 years now. You're amortizing it over 10 or 15 years.
And I'm probably slow on the uptake as usual, but what was the benefit of that?
Reducing the amount of property tax you had to issue to pay your debt so that you could keep the property tax, the mill levy, lower.
In other words, a current city council issuing this type of a bond. You know, the repayment schedule is going to start when that new city council comes in 4 or 5 years later.
There you go.
So it's a way you can reduce your monthly and annual expenditures as far as bond repayments. Throw it on some future elected body on down the road.
Yep.
Let them be responsible for it. Yep. Let them worry about it.
That's right.
Wow. Kansas League of Municipalities, I'm just intrigued by this, and I should have known.
Jim, I don't think it's done very often because it's not smart and most responsible.
It's not responsible.
That's right. That's right. Most responsible elected officials and administrators would not do that.
But we were.
We did for some time, yes. A number of years in there. I can't remember how many.
John, do you remember any legislative initiative that was ever introduced basically to say, no, we're not going to allow this type of a bond issuance in Kansas?
No, this happened well before my time, Jim, but what's happened since, I don't know what happened. I just do know that most people are not going to do that, not going to issue bonds in that way. They did it at the time for whatever reason, and I don't know what reason. I didn't try to go back and look at newspaper copies and things like that, or minutes. I just was looking at the finances to see
now,
how
you were there
the
under the Wagner and Felker administration both.
Well, yeah, well, 1 year of Felker.
Okay.
3 of Wagner, yeah.
Okay, so you had 4 years with the city of Topeka.
Right.
Was there ever an instance under either one of these two mayors to where this type of bond
no.
was issued?
No.
I mean, both of which said, no, we're not going
to
do
we
this.
Had to deal with the subject in Jones' term. We had to deal with it because the ballooning was coming home. And we sat there and said, wow, next year is going to be a big jump in our debt service, and we had to deal with it.
Because that would have happened under the Wright administration. Now Joan Wagner, she's got to pay the freight.
Right.
The chickens come home to roost,
and the earlier
Jeremiah Wright would say.
Wright and the earlier Felker administrations, yes.
Huh. You know, the temptation, I would think, for a mayor would be to continue business as usual. I'm surprised that, you know, looking at it through political eyes, Joan Wagner didn't say, hey, the only way we can work our way out of this is to issue the same type of bonds, where we're going to throw our obligation on some poor future mayor on down the road.
No, what we had to do was...
So, again, it looked like that Mayor Wagner and Mayor Felker were doing the responsible thing by bringing this to a screeching halt.
Yeah, that's correct, Jim. I don't remember.
Did I just give credit to Joan Wagner?
Well, you sure did. As well, you should have, because
well, and I've given credit to Joan before on the show, especially, you know, going back to the West Star situation, you know, as far as rate equalization and what have you. But I'm just intrigued by this.
It's
and I don't remember it ever being an issue.
It's kind of the federal model brought home to the local government. You know, as you see it at the federal level, we continue to spend money and then push it off into the national debt so that future generations get to pay for it.
Well, we have State Representative Joe Patton. He's going to be with us next Friday following Joseph Crisdale. I'm going to bring this up to Representative Patton to find out what we have on the books today. because, again, I think it's just would be so irresponsible for any political body at any level of government to be issuing these type of bonds.
Well, they're issuing the bonds, and they're going to pay them off, but what they're basically saying is there are a lot of different ways to amortize your bonds, and people really like to keep the property tax rate kind of level, not jump it up to
pay
bonds.
But it's phony baloney.
It's manipulating the debt management. There's no question. It's not necessarily phony, but if you're not paying anything on the principal, you're just paying the interest, then that's really bad business. You're pushing it off on the future generations. Not a thing to do. Not at all. What we had to do was refinance so that it would be, and Joan took the lead on this, to refinance to make sure that these things would not be ignored but would be financed and yet would not totally blow the property tax mill levy out of out of sight.
Wow. Well, we've got Tim Richard coming on the show Monday, and you know, I'll certainly mention this to Tim as well. Tim comes on each and every Monday for a half hour, and then we've got City Councilman John Alcala is going to be with us in a week, too. So we'll bring it up to all of them, and I'm just really intrigued.
I think any time the county or the city issues bonds, that those kinds of questions ought to be asked.
Absolutely, they should. Rick Anderson, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I guess I'm with you, Jim. I'd be interested to know what the legislature has done, if anything, to address that issue.
Yeah. It just appears to be very, very poor government if we're still allowing these type of bond issuances. Huh. Okay, hey, something that John Arnold and I talked about earlier in the week, Rick Anderson, we appreciate you coming up. Jim Ogle should be with us in the next few minutes. Hopefully he had an emergency, emergency situation. Earlier this morning, and he emailed us and said he hopes to be able to make it sometime this morning. So we appreciate you pinch hitting. National health care. Rick Anderson, you know, if you turn on especially any cable news channel, you can't watch cable news for more than 10 minutes without seeing some town hall meeting somewhere.
Sure.
National health care is something apparently that virtually everybody's concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'm.
Well,
you know, I can't imagine. I cannot imagine showing up and listening to Todd T. Hart spend 2 hours talking about national health care, or God forbid, Lynn Jenkins doing the same thing. I mean, we have gone through this over the past 2 days twice in Topeka, Kansas. Both of these individuals had overflow crowds. Both of the meetings lasted over 2 hours, and the topic was health insurance. You know, 5 minutes into cable TV to where they're talking about national health care, I'm right back to Andy Griffith reruns. But on a scale of 1 to 10, Rick Anderson, how important to you is this whole national health care debate? Looking at it through not the eyes of the Capital Journal, but looking at it through the eyes of Rick Anderson, how emotionally concerned are you about this whole issue of national health care?
Well, if we're talking about my personal feelings, scale of 1 to 10, it would be around a 1 or a 2. And I don't know if that just says something about my makeup, but, you know, for instance, I haven't been to the same doctor twice since I was in high school. I don't access the healthcare system very often. It's just not very much a part of my life. So I have a really tough time personally developing much interest or developing much passion about what's happening with the healthcare system. I think but I am intrigued on it from the standpoint of what it means for our system of government, what it means for our society. From that standpoint, it does interest me.
John Arnold, and by the way, Todd T. Hart and Lynn Jenkins, I want to give credit to both of them because they did host a town hall meeting, which certainly gives the citizenry an opportunity to come out and speak their mind. I just think the subject's duller than dirt.
I went to Lynn Jenkins's on Monday.
Did you really?
Monday, was it?
Did you?
Or was it Tuesday?
It might have been Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, John Arnold, how important is this whole issue to you?
Well, I think it's a 9, Jim. It's very important as a national interest. Personally, not so important to my own health care activities. I'm not the same demographic cohort is Rick, so I get much more involved with personal health. But I'm concerned about how we're providing health care in this country and how we're not. And what I'm really concerned about, Jim, is when you look at these 24/7 cable shows, as you say, and they're sitting there yelling about it, and most of the time they're yelling things that are not true. I mean, they're god-awful. There's this cartoon that was in, I think it was USA Today, that showed this little kid sitting on the floor in front of the TV set, and his mom and dad were sitting on the couch, and they showed a picture of Walter Cronkite on the TV, and they were talking about his death. And the kid asked his parents, he says, "Oh, he was a newscaster? Who'd he yell for?" I thought, there you go. That's the 24/7 cable world.
Well, you know, being somewhat right of center, I am certainly opposed to national health care insurance because I think government certainly has demonstrated in the past, you know, they could absolutely screw up anything that they get their hands on. I think the private sector, if we do it right, can certainly do it much better than government.
Jim, but I wrote a column on that for the Metro News 2 weeks ago, basically saying, what does the federal government do that it does well?
And you pointed out several instances.
And I went about 28 different things that they do very, very well. And they didn't even talk about tanks.
And as a former 30-plus-year government employee, I can understand why you wrote your column.
Well, I wasn't a federal government employee.
Well, I said a government employee.
Well, yeah, I believe government can work. I wouldn't have spent 30 years doing it without thinking it can work.
I'm sure you do. Now, let's get into some of what apparently is in this national health care bill. Where in the world are the trial lawyers on all of this? Because, again, according to this is something that I pulled off of the Internet, and apparently on page 124, of this proposed national health care insurance bill, it says no company can sue government on price fixing, no judicial review allowed against government monopoly. And again, if we're getting into a situation, which we are, that if government is taking over health care insurance, I'm really surprised that the trial lawyers haven't spoken out against this, because the trial lawyers, a lot of them, make a pretty good living. Now, based on what we currently have in the way of private sector health care coverage.
Sure.
And, you know, on the surface, it would appear this would be possibly an issue to where you're going to have a situation to where the left meets the right. The trial lawyers on the left joining with the right in opposition to national health care insurance. Rick Anderson, John Arnold, what am I missing? Why are the trial lawyers sitting back and allowing this to happen? Because this is going to dig fairly deeply into their pocketbook, isn't it?
Well,
if this goes through.
Two things. One of the things being talked about out there is tort reform in health insurance to limit the awards that can occur in malpractice suits.
Right. The Republicans are talking about that.
Trial lawyers don't like that.
No.
Obviously. But at the same time, what they're talking about...
Defensive medicine practices.
To avoid the defensive medicine practices where you order expensive tests in order to cover your butt that you didn't do everything. Oh, and that's one of the issues of contention. So the trial lawyers on the other side, if you're going to limit the ability to sue, it's one side of tort reform, but if it's only the limit to the ability to sue the government in terms of, I don't know, drugs, drug pricing and so on and so forth, you know, that's just one of the issues that's out there. Rationing's another issue, you know. And I sit there and I say, wait a minute. You say in the private sector can do this better than government, but yet, hey, in my health insurance...
But on this national health insurance, John, aren't all of the physicians going to be protected under the government umbrella to where nobody's going to be sued for anything?
Now, that I don't know.
If it's, you know, this national health insurance umbrella, I think the way that I understand what I've read and heard and seen... that everybody is going to be protected against lawsuits, which, again, we're going to see a lot of trial lawyers moving out of Clarion, moving out of Westboro, into smaller housing, I would think, if this passes.
Yeah, I don't know, Jim. I don't know what the impact is. That whole thing is, that's not something that's been on my radar screen.
I'm afraid I'm right there with you, John. I just, I'm not sure what the potential impacts of that would be.
Well, not surprising to many of the people that have followed the show over the years, one of my main concerns about the whole national health insurance debate is that, and apparently this is on page 50 of the proposed legislation, health coverage will be provided to all non-U.S. citizens, illegal or otherwise, gets into an immigration issue, And on page 170, apparently the bill says any non-resident alien is exempt from individual taxes to pay for this. So again, it looks like, once again, a free ride for those that have come to this country illegally.
I think less than what you've just said, Jim, is the fact that currently the illegal alien can walk into the emergency room of any hospital and be served, and we're paying for them right now, and paying for them in indirectly and in an inefficient way. And so, okay, that's not good. Can we fix this some way? You know, if you go to another country, Dr. Bill Roy wrote in the Capital Journal his experience of being in Scotland one time and had some kind of a medical event. Went in and they got it fixed, and he asked how much he had to pay, and they said, they just laughed at him. Nothing, you don't have to pay anything. Okay, great. I think that's what that is, addressing that whole kind of thing. Not that if you're not a citizen, you can't get this health treatment, but you can now. Why not make it legit?
You know, the ethical debate, and you've got a good point, the ethical debate on national health insurance is what really, I guess, bottom line would concern me the most. Because, again, taking a look at these end-of-the-life and end-of-your-life consultations, and I know that there's been a lot said on
what
both
Sir
sides
Palin
of the
calls the death panel.
The death panel.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you know, there's a point to be made there, and I guess this is where I would side. I'm surprised that the conservatives have taken the stand they have and the liberals have taken the stand they have on this issue. To me, the side should be reversed. Because if we're getting into practical dollars and cents, you know, this end-of-the-life consultation makes some sense.
I agree.
True, frankly.
Sure does.
But the problem with the Obama administration handling it, we're dealing with the far-left bleeding-heart liberals, if you will. You know, I think it would work just the opposite as if this was handled by a responsible team of fiscal conservatives that are really looking at the practicality of the issue. You know, my fear is just the opposite, is that I think, you know, under Obama, you could have this 85-year-old juicer that's been on the hooch for all of their life, never worked a day in their life, and now they're needing a liver transplant. You know, I could see the bleeding heart left saying, well, certainly we're going to pay for your $150,000 operation. But I can certainly see more those of us that would be more fiscally inclined to say, no, ain't going to do it. So
you're going
to. But it gets into an ethical. And now we're into the ethics of how far do we extend coverage? You know, again, if you're talking about somebody that's in the twilight years,
well,
this is a tough one.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Please,
I'm sorry.
Please.
Go ahead.
No, you.
No, I think that what's interesting about this to me is that that's such an individual, it should be such an individual choice as to how you want to live out your later years and how you want to adjust your health care accordingly. And I think that part of the fear here is just that individual choice, your ability to make that individual choice would be eroded under this proposed legislation. And I think that's part of why, you know, you see these overflow crowds for these town hall meetings. But, you know, as far as who, you know, is it a liberal or is it a conservative who's going to be fashioning that? Again, I think it just comes back to whose choice should it be.
But should it be left up to the individual? Because if I'm 85 and I figure, well, I can extend my life another 10 years, I can hang out at Bullfrogs for 10 more years if I go in for a liver transplant, I would probably make that decision, even though knowing it was going to cost the taxpayers $150,000, you know, to extend my life another 10 years. There comes a point in time to where, again, the ethics of all this,
uh-huh.
You know, it's really an intriguing issue.
I agree.
How far do we go ethically, you know, as far as these assailant, Sarah Palin's referred to as death squads or end-of-the-life consultations?
But the conservatives, Jim, have charged that the Democrats in the Obama administration are the ones who want to make that decision for you. They were taking your position that it's not economical for us to pay for a $150,000 liver transplant for an 85-year-old man. And the conservatives are saying they would make that decision not to do that. And that's what we don't want. And I'm sitting there saying, hold it, guys. Where's the liberal? Where's the conservative position here? You know, to my mind, this whole end-of-life thing has been blown way out of proportion. It is only to say it's okay and Medicare will pay for you consulting with your doctor about end-of-life issues once every 5 years. It doesn't say you must have this kind of consultation. It just says if you want to, your doctor can be reimbursed for the time he spends telling you about. Well, do you really think you're going to live for another 10 years and we give you a liver transplant? Because here are your other conditions. You know, I go to the doctor nowadays, Jim, and they come back with a blood test, and they say, well, your numbers are pretty good for a guy your age. And I sit there and say, thanks a lot. But, you know, you get to that point, and as a good friend of mine, president of the University of Colorado State University, said at one point when he was about 75, he says, the parts just wear out, you know, mm-hmm. And they do. So, okay, maybe your liver goes a little faster because you drink a beer at every bar in town at least once a year. Like you, Jim.
I'll try.
Or, I mean, you're trying to patronize business, local business.
I'm supporting Topeka.net.
There you go. Uh-huh.
And Splash.
But, you know, you get to a certain point, and they say, okay, this liver transplant is going to cost the government or health insurance $150,000, and your health insurance might not pay for it now. But right now, you know, Jim, you go, and let's say, you look at your formulary, which is, in my mind, is a fancy word for how we're rationing your drugs. The private insurance company says, this is the list of things we'll pay for. It's in the formulary. So the FDA, Federal Drug Administration, comes out with a new cancer drug that they say is very effective, but it costs you $5,000 a month. And your local health insurance doesn't have it on its formulary. He says, no, you can't have that drug. We won't pay for it. That's rationing, and that's being done by the private insurance companies right now. And I don't think that's right.
I need to break in. Because I'm looking at the time, and we have not given a plug to Brickhouse Antiques.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, good.
Great antique store. Yes, indeedy. They're open.
We were talking about antiques, but it was whether they would get their medical treatment.
Folks, if you're in a position to where you're looking at a possibility of an estate sale, several reasons why you need to give Brickhouse Antiques a call, or better yet, stop by 37th and Burlingame, because they know how to market estate sales. They know how to get a crowd out to make sure at the end of the day, at the end of the weekend, you're not going to have a bunch of unused merchandise still sitting in the garage, in the living room, and in the basement. They know how to price items to maximize your profit. Folks, they're the professionals. They deal with estate sales on a regular basis. So it's a great reason to give either Coralie Evans or Lisa Cusick a call at Brickhouse Antiques, 266-6000. And ask them about taking over that estate sale for you. That way, you know, you can take off for the weekend while they're conducting this estate sale for you. So many good reasons why this is going to save you a lot of time, a lot of effort, and maximize your profit. You can stop by Brickhouse Antiques again, 37th and Burlingame. They sit right off of I-470, convenient to any location in and around Shawnee County. Brickhouse Antiques. Okay, let's take a quick break. Stay tuned. More to come.
PJOnline.com has been upgraded, and it's an entirely new way for you to experience your community.
More than ever, CJOnline.com has what you need when you need it.
As your morning starts, PJOnline.com is updated with overnight news, weather, and the morning buzz.
Throughout the day, they bring you developing stories, interaction, and commentary.
In the evening, they recap the day in news and sports and feature their local bloggers.
Experience the local news and sports at CJOnline.com.
Your 24/7 Northeast Kansas news connection.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org. The first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Medication costs spiraling out of control? Is Plan D really saving you any money once you've reached the donut hole? For many of us, saving money on skyrocketing medication costs has become a vital way of controlling those tight monthly budgets. I'm Eric with Canada Drug. We're locally owned and operated, have been for over 5 years, serving your friends and neighbors, helping them save thousands of dollars yearly on essential prescription medications. To find out how you can have more medication at the end of your month for less money, call us at Canada Drug today. 785-272-6100. Or visit us just east of Wanamaker on 17th, between Applebee's and McDonald's.
Savings for everybody. We're Canada Drug.
Canada Drug of Topeka. 272-6100.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJ Online, your source for interviews, community commentary, and news, live and online. Phone lines are now open at 295-1193 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, 295-1193 is going to get my voicemail, I think. 295-1150 is now the number. The 295-1193, we were using that when we were out on location. But now that we're back in the Capitol Journal building, 295-1150 is the number to call if you've got any thoughts. We would love to hear from you. Hey, a real quick plug for my son's site. If you haven't checked it out, it's, frankly, it's not bad. Themis, T-H-E-M-I-S, mag.com. And he writes a monthly column, somewhat from the libertarian point of view, I suppose. And this month's column is on voter fraud. So check it out, themismag.com. And that's my son.
Cool.
Yeah. A blogger. I'm a blogger.
You are a blogger. You're a darn fine blogger.
No, I did once.
There's a cartoon out there.
It must have been a good one.
And you blew it out of the park.
Jim, I think
that was a little bit
best of Topeka.
I think it's the wrong word. There's a cartoon out there called The Plugger. I think you're a plugger. Have you seen The Plugger cartoon?
No.
It's in the Lawrence Journal World. I hate to say that, guys. But, it is, and it's cute. It's about the old guys. It's kind of like Larry the Cable Guy on a cartoon.
Yeah.
Plugger. You're a plugger if you do this and that, you know.
Hey, I do speaking of plugging, I did want to give a plug to Hallmark cards.
Yeah.
They were recognized nationally because of the hours, the volunteer hours that they have given to Shawnee County. I guess at Lake Shawnee is where they've devoted a lot of time, a lot of attention. So again, it's one of our major employers in this community that's giving something back to the community. So certainly want to give an attaboy and an attagirl to the employees of Hallmark cards.
And, good for you.
Yeah. What I've been telling people, Jim, is that you're a vocal blogger. That's why.
That's very good.
See, that's why. That's why you got the best of Topeka, best CJ online blogger. You're a vocal blogger.
I like that. Uh-huh. I like that. I knew there would be some spin we could put on this. I just assumed it was because of the page 2 announcements we have on our upcoming guest. That's where all of this came from.
Could be.
And, by the way, that's ghost written by Rick Anderson. I don't write that either. So
our staff, yeah.
But again, I appreciate those that were thinking of me when they were voting.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was very, very nice. Okay, let's talk about city and county budget issues. Again, the county seems to be getting somewhat of a pass, in my opinion, on all of this. The county announced a couple of months ago that they weren't going to increase the mill levy at the county level more than 6.5 mils. Now, the front page top of the poll news was when the city council announced they weren't going to pass a mill levy in excess of a 1.85 mill levy increase.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, this was big news.
The county said they wouldn't do more than 6.5 mils?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And now the county, by a vote of 2-1, has said, well, we're going to cut off funding for safe streets. And by the way, since We grounded the helicopters. Crime has gone down in this community, and I want to give Safe Streets, I want to give credit to the helicopters being grounded. Apparently now we have more officers on the streets, and crime has been reduced in this community because the helicopters aren't flying. And I want to give credit to Safe Streets. You know, 150-plus Topekans show up once a month at a meeting basically to discuss how we can reduce crime in this community. So a twofold effort. One, rid of the helicopters for now, and two, Safe Streets. Well, our county commission, by a 2-to-1 vote, has said, well, we're going to cut off funding for Safe Streets, like to the tune of $35,000, I believe. And they also said we are going to cut off funding for Keep America Beautiful to the tune of $20,000. Now, Keep America Beautiful, I have been out helping Keep America Beautiful before on several occasions, picking up trash, beautifying this community. Safe Streets and Keep America Beautiful, if there's two programs in this community that we should take a look at funding, that would be it. On the other hand, our Shawnee County Commissioners, by a vote of 3-0, voted to spend $8 million on a Little League baseball field and a soccer field out at Lake Shawnee. Now, again, we're talking about $55,000 we're going to cut off to fund two pretty viable programs in this community. And on the other hand, we're spending $8 million for Little League baseball and Little League soccer. I don't know. It appears that we're not lending quite the attention to what's going on at the county level in terms of fiscal responsibility or lack thereof.
Well, what's sad to me about the, particularly sad to me about the issue of the funding for Safe Streets and Keep America Beautiful is that it seems like such a personality war between two individuals over the city's proposal to have the county take over funding for senior services versus the county funding these two organizations. And I just, I would like to think that there will be a compromise there. It's just a matter of brinksmanship at this point. Who blinks first and who sets up the meeting where we can get this hammered out. I'm a really big proponent, especially of Safe Streets. Sally Zellers, who's the director of that organization, is a member of the Capital Journal's editorial board. So I know Sally fairly well and really know her passion for this community and the effort that she's put in to helping stem the tide. You know, when I first started working in Topeka in 1997 and for several years after that, I think Topeka had a really horrible reputation as far as a place to visit. I think people were afraid because there was a really high crime rate at that time. And I think that because of some of these grassroots things and because of the work that Sally and other community activists have done, I think that you're seeing the crime rate drop because of that.
I hope so. But I agree with you, Rick, that it's a vengeful act on the part of two of the county commissioners to come back and say we're going to cut Safe Streets and Keep America Beautiful, because the city manager proposed that the county take over the elderly services. City council is so far backing that proposal. At least they have said so, as has been reported in the Capital Journal. Mm-hmm. And it's not Norton, the city manager, saying county. It's all me and you. It's the city council saying, hey, we think this makes more sense for the elderly services to be funded by the county, because many of those services go outside city limits. Same reason for arguing for consolidation. But for them to come back and say we're going to cut these other services is just juvenile kind of behavior, I think, that we don't need. It doesn't help anybody. As Rick says, if we can get somebody to sit down and hammer it out.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
We've
sure
given
easy.
Faint praise to our county elected officials as well as the city over the past few months, because it appeared that we had started to turn the corner, getting away from this game of I gotcha at every opportunity. Now it looks like we're right back to square one. with this, you know, the threat of not funding Safe Streets, the threat of not funding Keep America Beautiful, and as a result of the funding for the elderly, that it, Rick, I would agree with you, and John, I would agree with you, that, again, there's something just, we've got to correct this, and we need to work on this now, getting it corrected to where we can get away from the I gotcha games. Nobody wins. You know, we all lose.
That's right. That's right. I think John summed it up perfectly. It's juvenile. Good word to describe that. And I just get the sense that, yes, it will be worked out. It's in everybody's best interest to spend what is really, I mean, a paltry amount of money when you consider the budgets. It's just so sad that we have to go through a process like this to get to where I think we all know we're going to end up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what a mill is worth in the county, Jim, but it's got to be more than $1 million, because a mill is worth $1 million in the city.
I was going to say close to $1 million. Yeah, probably just under $1 million for the city, just a little over $1 million for the county, I believe.
One would think, yeah, something like that.
To go back to the point about the 6.5 mills, and I may have a misunderstanding here, but I thought I read that has been the county's way of doing business, is that it sets the absolute highest target and then or absolute outer limit, and then works down from there.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right on that, Rick Anderson. But the point being, you know, still there's that potential for a 6.5 mill levy increase, and on the city level, a 1.85.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And again, the city has basically said the same thing. You know, 1.85. We are not going above this limit.
Yes,
this
right.
is the absolute maximum.
Right.
So I guess I don't see the difference between what the city's doing and what the county's doing as far as establishing that maximum. Mm-hmm. We will not increase the levy beyond this limit.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the difference in philosophy there is either. The city's, I believe, is to let everybody know that they're not going to go beyond a certain level, and they make that level kind of small so that they have to chop to get under it, to stay under it. The county takes probably the other position, saying we're going to make it kind of high so it's not too hard to stay under.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The biggest source of frustration, Rick Anderson, for you, John Arnold, for you, throughout going through this budgeting process at the city and the county level, or is there really a core source of frustration, something that you're personally just absolutely frustrated with because we just can't seem to get a handle on, fill in the blank? Or I can start it off if you want. My source of frustration right now would be, one, I've been hooping and hollering about, you know, these little league ball field improvements now for 2 years. Obviously, it fell on deaf ears at our county commission level to where now we're spending $8 million, which translates to 8 mills, roughly. A little under 8 mills, and I realize
right.
this is going to be a bonding project, but $8 million translates to 8 mills that we've got to pay at some point in time. But the big source of frustration for me this year, again, comes back to our local bus service. And I know we've talked about this, I think, virtually every week for the past 2-3 months, John,
sure.
you've been on the show. But I keep coming back to the basics on this, that our current bus service, we're funding it at a level of around 85% to 86% of the money coming in to fund our bus service is some form of tax money. 14 cents out of every dollar is actually coming from the people that are riding the bus. Now, when Chandler Nesbitt Tucker was on the show a few weeks ago, we talked about increasing fares. She said at the time that the bus service in Topeka were currently attracting 2 million rides a year. 2 million riders a year. Okay.
Right.
If that, in fact, is the case, to where we've got 2 million riders a year, simply by increasing the fares by 25 cents a quarter, that's going to raise $400,000. That's a half a mil right there, by increasing the fare by 25 cents. Now, the argument is that if we increase the fares by 25 cents, ridership's going to go on the decline. What rider is no longer going to ride the bus if we increase the fare from a dollar and a quarter to a dollar and a half?
I think it's a good point.
I don't understand this idea just being dismissed out of hand.
Yeah.
Because, again, we're talking about the taxpayers of the city of Topeka. If the TMTA gets their way, we're looking at close to a 2 mil levy increase on property taxes. Just by the simplicity of a 25-cent a fare increase, we're reducing that by a half a mil right there.
Right.
It just appears that TMTA is not listening to anybody as far as ways to cut expenses.
And then I would have to agree. I mean, one of the frustrations that I felt personally, and I think, and especially I think members of our editorial board were frustrated with, was the offer for a free consultant study of you know, how we could find some efficiencies perhaps, and that just never materialized for one reason or another. And I think it created a perception that the TMTA wasn't particularly interested in having somebody come in and look at what it was doing. And I think that's been a source of frustration for a lot of people.
It could be, because having a consultant come in and tell you how to reorganize yourself might be something that they don't want to do. I mean, the city did it. They hired management partners for $125,000 a few years ago, and they came in with 234 recommendations.
Right.
I don't think four of them have been implemented. But they said it would save them $4 or $5 million a year, but I don't think they liked hearing what was suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Might be the same thing. But Jim, the other thing about your $8 million ballpark, the rule of thumb is about $80,000 of debt service for every $1 million of bond issued for a 20-year bond. So if you're issuing $8 million, so that's $360,000 a year in terms of debt service. If you're paying it off, you know, as we talk about, amortizing right along, principal and interest. So let's say $400,000.
Wait a minute. Let's back up on the math.
$80,000. $80,000 per million of bonds.
So that's $640,000 then. A year.
I'm sorry. Yes, $640,000.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Now I'm with you. Okay.
Yeah. I multiplied 8 times 8 and got 36. I said, "Geez, that's okay." Anyway, don't do things in my head.
So, okay. So $640,000.
There you go. So that's 0.6 of a mil, right?
Mm-hmm. Annually.
That you're adding annually to the operations
for the next cost. 20 years.
For the next 20 years. That's just a rule of thumb.
So it's going to be more than 8 mils by using your formula. If we're increasing it 0.6 of a mil, that's 6 mils, that's 12 mils over 20 years.
Well, yeah, that'll get you to the interest also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The interest adds up.
Okay.
But, you know, at the same time, maybe they're playing the bond issue like we talked about earlier. Vic was on that city council, in that first city council back in 86 after the former government changed, and he was on there for 4 years, might have been on there for 8, I'm not sure, I'd have to go back and look. So he maybe it was just 4, okay. He was involved in those kinds of things, so he probably undoubtedly knows that capability, you know, of paying the interest only or for some period of time. Whether he would do that or not nowadays, I don't know.
Now, again, we don't know.
And I don't know.
On the county level, you know, as far as these bond issuances on the county level, whether it's a street amortization or whether we're looking at balloon payments.
Don't know.
Wow. Huh. Okay.
Anyway, well, you ask about complaints about the budget process. My biggest frustration with the budget process is how the city waits until the last minute to sit there, and one night they spend 6 hours cutting things in a totally disorganized kind of way. Who can get 6 votes for whatever it is? And it ends up being a convoluted mess. Nobody ends up at the end of the night knowing exactly what they've done for a budget. Whether, you know, they'll know whether they've got the helicopter or not. They'll know whether they've got the elderly funded or safe streets. They'll know a few of those things. Will they know how much the water system is going to spend, or the sewer system, or streets, or public works? They don't look at the big picture. It's these individual little things that is just, to my mind, you got 9 guys there not earning their salary if they don't understand the big picture. And that frustrates the hell out of me, frankly. And it has done every 10 years I've been in Topeka, because that's the way they always do it.
We are up against the 10 o'clock news. Hate to cut you off. John, we will see you next Friday.
Yes, sir.
And Rick, thanks a million, my friend, for
Absolutely.
Coming up.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and,
thanks for having me up.
And again, Jim Ogle was supposed to be with us, and Jim did run into an emergency situation, so we'll get Jim back in the not-too-distant future. Joseph Crosdale, for those of you that want to listen to the show in reruns this weekend, good news and bad news. The bad news is Joseph was not with us this morning. The good news is he will be with us next Friday at 8 o'clock, and we're going to get Joseph's take on national health insurance. And again, for those of you that are unfamiliar with him, Joseph Crosdale is the former United Press International Bureau Chief for Canada. So we're going to get it the perspective from a Canadian. That's coming up next Friday on the show. Monday, we have Tim Richer, of course, coming in at 8 o'clock, City Hall and County Commission update. Melanie May is going to join us Monday morning, and we're going to be talking about the Israeli-Palestine conflict. We're going to get into an international issue, and then James Meyer is going to be with us Monday morning as well. We're going to talk about our Ethics Commission, and that's all coming up next Friday. We have State Representative Joe Patton is going to be with us next Friday as well. So, folks, stay tuned. Trish Johnston and the news, and then Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Gardening and lawn tips, it's all coming up. Stay tuned.
Good morning. Here's just a look at news you can read in more detail in the Topeka Capital Journal and on CJ Online. A strong stream of anti-government sentiment flowed again in the Topeka Town Hall meeting conducted Thursday by Representative Todd Tehart, the 4th District Republican vying for to replace Sam Brownback in the U.S. Senate. The second Topeka Town Hall meeting, as in many days, was again peaceful and packed as spectators who couldn't fit into the auditorium at the Topeka Shawnee County Public Library listened to the meeting in an adjacent cafeteria, and for the second consecutive day, concerns about government intervention into the lives of Americans. Community Health Center is hoping to build a $2.2 million clinic at 2049 Southeast California to replace the Hillcrest Clinic in the Hillcrest Recreation Center. The Shawnee County Commission purchased the vacant lot at Southeast California, making it possible for the health agency to apply for a federal stimulus facilities investment program grant to build the new 6,000 to 7,000 square foot facility. A Topeka fire official was taken to a local hospital Thursday afternoon after the department vehicle the person was riding in and a passenger car collided at a downtown intersection. Stephen Brooks, the driver of the car, said he was exiting Interstate 70 at Southeast 3rd Street exit and driving south into Southeast Monroe Street shortly before 2 p.m. Meanwhile, a fire department sports utility vehicle was driving west on Southeast 4th Street. I had a green light, and I didn't even hear them coming, Brooks said. I looked up, and they were like 10 feet away, and boom. Topeka police were on the scene, as were Shawnee County Sheriff deputies and a Topeka fire investigators. They didn't immediately release any details about the accident, but Brooks said he thinks the sirens and lights on the SUV were operating. Sunny to partly cloudy skies today, a high of 91. A few clouds overnight, a low of 68. Stay tuned. Jim Cates at CJ Online will return for another hour with Dave Jackson from Jackson's Greenhouse to answer all your lawn and garden questions.
CJOnline.com has been upgraded, and it's an entirely new way for you to experience your community.
More than ever, CJOnline.com has what you need when you need it.
As your morning starts, CJOnline.com is updated with overnight news, weather, and the morning buzz.
Throughout the day, they bring you developing stories, interaction, and commentary.
In the evening, they recap the day in news and sports and feature their local bloggers.
Experience the local news and sports at CJOnline.com.
Your 24/7 Northeast Kansas news connection.
Topeka Collegiate, Topeka's only independent school, treats every child as gifted. Each student is encouraged to excel in a caring, small class learning environment guided by humanitarian principles. At Topeka Collegiate, children fall in love with learning. Enrollment is limited. Call 228-0490 or visit our website at topekacollegiate.org. Topeka Collegiate School, educating children for life.
Excuse me. Why are you saving those old eyeglasses? You know the ones, stuck away in the desk drawer, haven't been worn in years. Yeah, those. You should donate them to your local Lions Club. Lions Clubs have been collecting used eyeglasses for years. They'll take your old eyeglasses and recycle them for someone in need of proper eyewear. Call your local Lions Club for information on where you can donate your old eyeglasses. Lions Clubs International. We serve.
I think we are ready to go. Good morning, Dave Jackson.
Good morning.
This is going to be an exciting day for you, not just because you're on CJ Online.
No. Not just because of that, in and of itself, that is plenty exciting.
Two more Jacksons joining us, huh, today?
Yes.
Two more.
Twins. Twin girls. Twin granddaughters. My son and his wife are having the operation today. Fantastic. Pretty exciting.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
this
boy.
Afternoon. So.
And they know it's going to be twins.
They know it's going to be twins. Baby A and baby B. So it's pretty.
Do they know baby, whether it's boy, girl?
It's
boy,
two girls.
Two girls.
Yeah. They absolutely know it's girls.
Okay. It's going to be two girls.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
So anyway. That
first grandkids.
For me?
Mm-hmm.
No, this will be number 6 and 7.
This is 6 and 7.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm an old codger.
Exciting stuff.
How many grandkids do you have? I forget.
I have two.
Just two?
I have two. One in Topeka, one in St. Charles, Missouri. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep. Both boys. And, my gosh, they're both in high school now.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Getting a little long in the tooth. Hey, you live north of the river. You've been involved in everything north of the river. Former state senator, former school board member, and you know everything that's going on north of the river. And somebody's got to pay the hospital bill for these two grandkids coming up. You have an opportunity this weekend to make $100.
To make $100?
All you have to do is show up at Reed's. I'm sure you know where Reed's
is.
46th and North Topeka.
Uh-huh.
Or not North Topeka, 46th and 75 Highway.
You're right, out at Hunter's Ridge.
And if you can knock out Dangerous Damon Reed, walk off with $100.
I don't believe I want to do that. Damon and I are...
I don't think I'd want to do it.
Damon and I are friends. Look at what the cat drug in. Can you believe this?
Well, in fact, I was going to call...
Doug Mays,
and I happen to have an opening coming up on the show, and that's going to be a week from Monday on the 24th of August.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ironic that Doug Mays would walk in. Because
it is.
Because the call I was going to make this weekend.
Doug Mays has never been anything but... ironic, for sure. So,
wonder what he knows about gardening, lawn tips.
Oh, Doug's a pro. I know. I'm sure.
Huh?
He comes out to our place and gets his advice. Yeah, we see his wife more than we see Doug.
Doug just brought in a box of records. That's exciting stuff. This is exciting stuff. Are you going to be available a week from Monday on the 24th at 9 o'clock?
Out of state. Out of sight.
Out of state. All right. Well, we'll do it. We'll get you scheduled sometime. What are you going out of state for?
Business.
Wonder what that means.
I'm not sure what it means in
Doug's
case. It's hard to know.
It's tough to know, but Doug is one of our state's leading lobbyists.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I don't know of anybody that understands this legislative process any better than Doug Mays does.
Probably right.
If I was going
Unfortunately, he's gone to work for the enemy, I guess.
What enemy?
As I recall.
What enemy?
Our, school boards.
Oh.
No.
Not school board.
Doug's not working for USD 501 now. In fact.
Oh, okay. You're not for KASB or any of those now?
Now, Dave Jackson, we've got to give USD 501 some credit. Under Kevin Singer's leadership.
Kevin is a breath of fresh air for that outfit.
Yes, and he did reduce the mill levy. I mean, it's a very slight reduction, but the mill levy did go down. As it did, by the way, I want to recognize your superintendent in Seaman, your mill levy.
No need to. The reason that that went down is, absolutely, the only reason it went down is that they finally paid off the bonds that, of course, we put in to update schools for the foreseeable future, and now of which they've closed three of them. The idiots closed schools, and they've made a high. This is just nuts. Closing Lyman and Easton Enola to open up a Logan school. most of which of those kids are at-risk children. So instead of a small school setting, which all the literature shows is better for kids that are at risk, they put them together, and now they have a grade school of nearly 500 of at-risk kids, all concentrated in one school in one district. Just stupid. It's just idiotic. I mean, these geniuses ought to be shot. Anyway.
Well, I think we know how you feel about
enough
that.
Enough of that.
Well,
it's all about pumping up their own salaries. They don't care about the kids. They say they do. Yeah, they want to do all this stuff, but the, I don't know. Anyway,
but
enough of that.
On a bright note, though, Kevin Singer, we will
He's done well.
Yeah.
Although, on the other side, I still have employees from the central administration coming in and telling me about the waste and waste of time and the extra people that they have in there that don't have enough jobs, things to do. They still could cut the fat. He's doing better than the previous.
In fact, Jim Ogle has told the story many times on the air that when Kevin first hit town, Kevin was looking for ways to hold the line on spending. And one of the ways that Kevin did it, he formed this committee, a cross-section of USD 501 residents. Anybody that called to complain about USD 501, Kevin would automatically invite that person to become part of this focus group. So, I mean, he truly had a cross-section.
Good.
Of, so everything, I've had him on the show once. And I don't know Kevin well, but I've had him on the show once, and I was impressed.
The board members are tired of hearing from me at Seaman.
By the way, your ad in Wednesday's paper, Dave Jackson, your wife says, don't water your plants.
Don't overwater your plants.
Don't overwater. Don't overwater your plants. They need to be watered.
As you drive through town, you can see right now that some of the trees, the red buds and some of those kinds of things that have put on too many leaves, look a little wildy right now. And some people see that and say, oh, my God, we haven't had rain in 3 days. We better get out there and water those. Well, you can't do that and expect not to drown your plants. So anyway, that's what this is all about. If you really want your plant to, if you want to eliminate the wilted look, you just go out there and mist it like you would your dog or something that's too hot. Just mist the tree, the canopy or something, so that it slows down the transpiration rate and allows the vapor deficit to catch up. The root system is not balanced with the top of the tree because, of course, it didn't have to with all the cool, wet weather.
In a 95 or 100 degree weather, how do you know when it's time just to mist as opposed to water? What should you do?
Well, you get down on your hands and knees and around the base of the tree. If it's a newly planted tree in that seam where the soil was transplanted or removed and put back, then you put your hand down in the soil and feel the soil or pull out a handful, and if it squeezes and makes a ball, then it's still wet. If it crumbles, then it's dry. It's pretty simple.
Okay. Just people don't like to get their... What about a flower pot, though?
A flower pot?
Yeah.
You can pick it up. If it's light, it needs watered. If it's heavy, it doesn't need watered. Just kind of pick it up or tilt it. You can feel, depending on the size of the pot.
Okay, because Nancy's got me out watering every day now that I'm working 2 days a week.
Yeah.
Don't
in the
that.
Morning. No, you if they're in the sun and we're having this sunny weather, then, yeah, you water first thing in the morning before you come to work and every day. Because
no way I'm going to get out of that. Huh?
Well, if it's cloudy all day, then you don't have to water the following day, probably.
Any exceptions to the rule? What about tomatoes?
Yes.
The same thing apply. Just pick up some of the dirt. If it forms a ball,
Greasy kind of a ball, then you got
don't
plenty.
Don't water anymore.
Don't water it. There's no point. But with tomatoes, I mean, that's the gardens are a little bit different. You should have your gardens mulched, of course, to keep the soil cool. And
I've got it mulched.
Okay, good. And then with tomatoes, then you should only be watering slowly and deeply, once every 4 or 5 days at most, so that the water soaks in and goes all the way down, because you certainly don't want that root system staying near the top, which is what happens if you water your tomato plants every day. You got a root system that's really shallow and it will never develop sufficiently to support a large plant.
How come over the past week so many of my tomato leaves are dying?
Do you have blight, you think? Are they turning brown from the bottom and going up? Is that it? Is this
pretty much.
Yeah.
More of the dead leaves are on the bottom than they are on the top.
That's either or both, probably both, early blight and septoria leaf spot will start on tomatoes after all this rain. You've gotten all that, you've got conditions favorable to the development of fungus, spore production and fungus, and then it just works its way up the plant. And we've talked about this before. Take those leaves off and spray your plant with the Fertilome Broad Spectrum. I suppose I ought to put it in the garden again, maybe, or in the ad again. But that's what you need to spray with to stop that, so that your leaves don't all come off and that you're looking at naked plants. If you want to continue
that's
your
Fertilome what now?
Broad Spectrum
I know
fungicide.
We've talked about it. Mm-hmm. I don't have any because I've never had the problem before.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
What a lucky boy. Yeah, I guess you told me that
about a week and a half ago. You know, yeah. And I've taken all the dead leaves off.
Good. They got them out of the garden. And
they're out of the garden. They're gone.
All right.
And now I need to spray with Fertilome Broad Spectrum. Mm-hmm. That should take care of it.
That should.
So I should have a fall crop of tomatoes then.
We would hopeful. It's time to fertilize them again if you haven't for a while.
Okay. Haven't done that either. Okay, need to do that as well. Now's the time?
Now would be the time to put some tomato vegetable garden food down. The granular and then watered in, or let the rain this weekend if we're going to have some watered in.
Timeline on doing that. It should be done now. What's the cutoff date? It's actually too late to fertilize your tomato plants.
Mid-September probably would be the time to stop. I don't think that there's any benefit.
There's a three-week window there, or a four-week
window.
Yeah,
to push some growth right now so that you'll have continued tomato production on through to the first frost, which is typically October the 10th, sometime around there.
Okay, we can do that. All right, hey, there is a lot to talk about today, folks. Again, 295-1150 if you have a question. For Dave Jackson, we've got an hour of gardening and lawn tips coming up, as we do each and every Friday at 10 o'clock. Or you can always email us at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Let's take a break.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJ Online, your source for interviews, community commentary, and news live and online. Phone lines are now open at 295-1193 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we are back. We're talking about record collecting with Doug Mays. By the way, Doug, Monday the 31st,
of August. You going to be available?
No.
We'll just line up guests during the hour.
Okay.
Huh?
What time?
Monday the 31st, 9 a.m. Look at him.
Man, I'm barely out of bed by 9.
Huh? You're back in town?
No. He didn't. I said I'm barely out of bed by then, but I'm just kidding about that.
Yes, indeed. Okay. We will see you Monday at the 31st of August, 9 o'clock.
I'm going to take off.
And thank you very much for the records. Very appreciative of that.
Good to see you, Doug. Stop out and see us.
At Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road, 232-3416. Doug, thanks a million, bud. Nutgrass. Let's talk about nutgrass.
Nutgrass. That is a bad thing.
What is nutgrass?
Nutgrass is a sedge. That's the trouble. It's not actually a grass. So your crabgrass, it's a sedge.
What's a sedge?
A sedge is a grass-like looking plant, but it is not. It's actually a broadleaf. So your crabgrass preventers don't prevent it. So then in the summer, then after it gets warmer, it's a warm season sedge, and there's plenty of moisture, then that stuff pops up. It's a moisture lover, and it's more prevalent in people that water their lawns than people that don't.
They call it watergrass.
Yeah, they call it watergrass. And but your typical preventers don't prevent it. So anyway, of course, there's a chemical that'll kill it without killing your lawn because it is a different genus and species than your regular grass that you can put on. I think you're live. Go ahead, speak.
No, go ahead on that.
There you go. So if you want to, we have the nutgrass killer in a chemical in a fairly inexpensive.
Doesn't the same stuff kill crabgrass?
No, it's not. Well, yeah, there is a crabgrass, nutgrass, and killer. Yeah,
Bayer's got it out. Yeah,
Bayer's got it. Furlome has it for a lot less money.
Yeah.
But Bayer's, of course, one of the brands that everybody's familiar with because it's in all the box stores. So anyway, it's easy to kill. If you have big patches, we have the stuff that usually takes probably two applications, and you have to pay attention to the label directions because it is somewhat damaging. It will yellow up your fescue a little bit. Or there's a new product out that's quite a lot more expensive if you only have small patches, 1,000 square feet. It comes in a dissolvable envelope. You just drop the envelope in the water and go out and spray it, and it immediately kills the sedge without killing anything else or without harming your grass. But it's 1,000 square feet, it's like for $18. So it's about five times more expensive than the old line chemical.
Wow.
But anyway,
now's the time to spray for sedge?
Yeah. See, the reason.
You put a fall application on to make sure that it's not going to return next summer?
Well, yeah, you need to. The sedge is called nutgrass because there's these nuts that form on the end of the root that become a seed. Instead of the seed being out on the top, it's down in the ground. So if you attempt to pull it, you leave all the nuts in the ground. So the axiom that when you pull it, there's four come up, that's absolutely true. Because that you leave that, it doesn't come up with the root. The seed, the nut, does not come out. Mm-hmm. So it's a bulblet, tiny little bulb is what that really is. And so that's why you can't pull it, take care of it. It's just you have to chemically treat it.
I have one other question.
Okay, but
that's
now's
great.
The time. Now's the time to spray for nutgrass,
mm-hmm.
Or should you wait until later?
No, you want to get it in the heat.
You want to do it in August, then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to take care of the problem next summer. You say that.
Well, yeah.
That chemical is going to go down to that nut. It's mm-hmm. going to kill the nut. So next summer you shouldn't have a major problem.
Yeah. Well, at least your problem will be in regression instead of continually increasing. And it depends on the summer too. If you have a hot, dry summer, that stuff won't even germinate, and you're not if your lawn's not being irrigated.
Okay, I have one more question.
Okay,
I've been battling Bermuda grass for years.
Uh-huh.
I got a patch that
right.
just, you know, is there anything besides Roundup that can take care of Bermuda grass? Something systemic that won't kill the fescue?
Yes.
There is.
There is, and it goes a long way. It's fairly pricey, $26-$27 for a bottle about this tall, but a bottle this tall will do 15,000 square feet or so, and that is called Turflon Ester. We have that.
Okay.
And you have, it's a another, it's kind of a technical process again, but you do have to use some surfactant with it when you put it down, and it will take at least two applications.
Okay.
And
great.
We've got it as high-yield Teflon ester.
Now, as you pointed out, correct me if I'm wrong, we were talking about Roundup a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if Doug's got a problem with Bermuda grass,
mm-hmm.
he can theoretically go out and spray Roundup on the Bermuda grass.
Yeah, we call it Kills-All, of course. It's
yeah.
And the generic line is Kills-All.
Kills-All.
Uh-huh. Cheaper.
And I've used the Kills-All Aquatic, by the way. That stuff works.
My God, good.
But the Kills-All product, theoretically, you could go out and spray today. Monday, you could come in and just re-sod right over it because it Kills-All doesn't attach itself to the soil.
At all. It becomes immediately inert.
It becomes immediately inert. So theoretically, you could just...
This guy's learning, isn't this something?
Absolutely.
I think it was used by farmers before they started bottling it for regular town folk like us.
Right. And I think a lot of people are under the impression, you know, if you put a Roundup or a Kills-All product,
that's one of the most frequent questions I get. How long do I have to wait?
Yeah.
And people are usually astounded that they don't have to wait.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet. Good to see you, as always.
Doug Mays, and he'll be our guest on the show Monday on the 31st of August. That's coming up. Okay. He's a dandy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, if I had to hire a lobbyist, that's who I would go after.
Yeah.
His understanding of this whole legislative process. I never understood it. Of course, I don't understand much of anything. That's why I host a show, because talk show host, we ask questions.
There you go.
Because we don't know that.
Yeah,
we don't have a clue
have
what the answers
too.
Are.
Always.
Well, we don't have a clue as to what the answers are, so I guess the less informed you are, maybe the better of a talk show host you are. Hopefully that's the case.
You think?
Because I'm not well informed.
Oh. Right? But you always know where to get the answer.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. 232-3416, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center is certainly what where I would go for the answer if I had a gardening or a lawn care question. Absolutely.
Well, I've through attrition, I've become the senior horticulturist in the town at this point because Phil Sell, of course, one of my classmates at K-State, is retired, and Jack Reese has retired. He was a couple years ahead of us at K-State, and he's no longer present. So by default, I'm the old guy in town, horticulturally speaking, that's still active with a wide range of... and, of course, we're the only growers left, so where we actually grow the product we sell. So anyway...
You're pretty much it.
Well, I'm the senior member, at least, of the group.
Well, I think Nancy's listening this morning, said she was going to, and getting into the sod, we've talked about sodding out along our shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Nancy last week you were on the show, and you said, do not sod if temperatures are going to remain above the 90s for a week.
Right.
Until temperatures go below 90 degrees.
Right, because you don't get much root development with the temperatures that high.
So if we see a week coming up to where the temperatures, the highs are going to be in the upper 80s,
mm-hmm.
lay the sod down.
Yeah, then you can go.
Okay. Uh-huh. And there's always sod at Jackson's Greenhouse.
We might not have any right now because of what I told you. It's hard for us to keep it alive, and people really aren't all that interested in lugging sod around and laying it down. But as soon as it cools down, we'll have it, and probably, I don't know whether we'll have any for the weekend, this weekend, but definitely next weekend we'll have it back in available.
Okay, so just call first.
Call first to make sure we have some good fresh-looking stuff available to go.
Okay. And you can call at 232-3416.
You've got that number down well.
Yes, indeed, and you are the only garden center in Shawnee County that carries sod, so folks...
On a regular basis. Sometimes Skinners will get some in for a weekend when there's might be heavy demand, but they don't care to roll it out and take care of it. They want to, if it comes in, they'll want to sell it.
Quick in, quick out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, let's talk about, we need to take a break here in a couple of minutes, but let's talk about your specials coming up this weekend.
The garage sale event, we've added more stuff to it and finding more things that need to go. You really ought to get out and take a look at some of this stuff because the lease sale is 50% off. We've got 60, 70, 80, and 90% off, and we've got a group of sale fountains that have been around for the greenhouse for over years. So it's time to move those out. We're going to take the loss and get them hopefully to your place instead of our place. beautiful fountains. I still don't understand why some of these didn't sell, but they certainly ought to sell at 50 or 60 or 70% off. There's some furniture, patio furniture and stuff that's showing some damage or some weathering because we've used them as props and stuff that are 90% off, some really cool stuff. I mean, so a $600, $500 set of a table and chairs is 50 or 60 bucks right now. And trellises, got some trellises that are showing some weathering that we've marked down 50%. Got some that are slightly damaged that are 90% off. So it's a lot of stuff. This year also, then, if you come in, we're for the first time ever, we're giving August bulb dollars. So you get a bulb dollar for every $5 you purchase, and that bulb dollar then buys you 30% discount then when the fall bulbs come in, and you'll be able to use those through the month of October achieve. You can buy down the cost of your bulbs, and, of course, we'll have a huge selection of bulbs coming in and looking forward to the fall with more bulbs than we've had in the past. So that's the thing. Adopt a koi month. We are really selling the fish. People, because we have them from $6.99. They're normally $7.99, but on top of that, then they're buy two, get one free.
Mm-hmm.
And so the little $6.99ers, I'm down to maybe 20 or so left. We've got lots and lots of the others at the $12.99 price and so forth. Buy two, get one free, so it's a great deal. Some really pretty fish in that tank, in those tanks. We have four tanks of fish.
Okay, now if you're keeping these fish outdoors over the winter months, mm-hmm. how do you protect the fish?
There's a couple of ways to do it. First of all, you don't want the surface to freeze over because then they can't get oxygen. So you can if it gets really cold, you don't really want to be running your pump because, of course, once it gets so cold, then that your waterfall begins to look like an ice fall, and mm-hmm. things plug up, and you can damage your pump. So we have pond heaters that float that you just, instead of having your pump plugged in, you have a pond heater plugged in and keep that ice open. And that's how you do it. I mean, it doesn't warm so much and bring your fish out of dormancy, but it's set to keep your pond from freezing over so that your water stays just slightly above 32 degrees so that the oxygen can be absorbed by the water and so your fish stay alive.
Okay, so the koi are going to live regardless of how cold that water is as long as they can get a supply of oxygen.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
That's the key thing.
You can have ice floating around in your pond.
Right.
Which is going to be okay with the koi. They're still going to make it.
They're
going to
be
nicely.
Right, pretty much inactive down at the bottom. They'll do fine. They just kind of go dormant, and there's nothing to worry about. But the freezing over the pond,
that's
when people get into trouble. And the pumps aren't that much compared to the cost of koi, and the electricity that they take isn't that much either. You can, I said pumps, the heaters,
mm-hmm.
$40 or $50 buys you a really good quality heater.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy the cheap ones too for. Well, I don't know, $15 or $20. But these heaters come sized for the size of your pond, how many gallons of water, of course, so that you don't have to figure the calculation of the BTUs. They tell you most people know if they've got a 500,000 or 2,500 gallon pond,
mm-hmm.
then the heaters are sized for those ponds.
Okay, koi, goldfish, the same, six of one, half a dozen of the other, as far as
care.
Huh?
Care and keeping?
Care and keeping, just
pretty much.
Uh-huh. Pretty much the same. Your goldfish are going to go dormant in the winter as well. Mm-hmm. They're going to be fine as long as that pond doesn't ice over.
Right.
And that just stops the oxygen from getting
right.
to the fish.
Right.
That's the only reason.
That's the only reason.
Yeah. The temperatures have nothing to do with it other than ice.
Over the top.
Yeah.
Right.
And
of course,
the flow
of
oxygen. Okay.
Right. That's kind of the way it works. And I was on vacation last winter, and my staff didn't get out there with a heater, and I lost all my koi last year while we were gone. Not happy when I got back.
Oh, boy.
I had some nice koi in our waterfall pond.
Are they good to eat?
No.
Kind
of like carp, if you like carp, I guess.
Dave, we need to take another break. Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Medication costs spiraling out of control? Is Plan D really saving you any money once you've reached the donut hole? For many of us, saving money on skyrocketing medication costs has become a vital way of controlling those tight monthly budgets. I'm Eric with Canada Drug. We're locally owned and operated, have been for over 5 years, serving your friends and neighbors, helping them save thousands of dollars yearly on essential prescription medications. To find out how you can have more medication at the end of your month for less money, call us at Canada Drug today. 785-272-6100 or visit us just east of Wanamaker on 17th between Applebee's and McDonald's.
Saving for everybody, we're Canada Drug.
Canada Drug of Topeka, 272-6100.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJ Online, your source for interviews, community commentary, and news live and online. Phone lines are now open at 295-1193 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we're back. Hey, coming up Monday morning real quick. We've got Tim Richard coming in at 8 o'clock. Melanie May is going to be joining us at 8:30 or so. And we're going to be talking about the Israeli-Palestine conflict. And then James Meyer is going to be joining us again. And he contacted me last week, has more information on the Ethics Commission. Quite a story indeed for those of you that missed it. We're going to be talking about Senator Umberger and what's happened as a result of some of the campaign contributions Senator Umberger received. Quite a story. That's coming up at 9 o'clock Monday morning.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to hear that story after maybe after we get off the air or something. I'm interested in that. Senator Umberger was my seatmate at in the Senate.
That's right, he was.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite a story. I don't know whether you want an abbreviated executive summary or you want to wait until we get off.
Oh, we'll wait until you
we'll
get off,
I wait until we get off the air, and I'll...
I guess.
And folks, you can catch up on the story. It's going to be Monday morning at 9 o'clock, and it's quite a story indeed. Hey, something else that's in your ad, Dave Jackson, Wednesday's ad. In fact, folks, you can check out Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center's ad each and every Wednesday. It's a half-a-page ad that's in the paper every Wednesday, and it's a good one. And there's always a good tip or two in the ad as well.
I try.
Yeah.
This has taken up a lot of my time, writing Annette's tips and then writing the garden update at the bottom and all that kind of stuff, but it's been really good. I'm thankful for the opportunity that they've given us to provide a service and continue with the low cost of this ad. It's a sale. I'm And we have committed through the end of the year with Capital Journal to be to have the half-page ad on Wednesdays.
I'll tell you, rates, ad rates have never meant better, folks. If you've got a business, boy, you need to call an ad exec, because the ad rates for the Capital Journal today compared to 2 years ago.
Last year even.
My. Bargain rates.
Bargain. But, I don't know. You know, we're up 30%. I don't know how much to attribute that to, but we're having a phenomenal year. Just a phenomenal year.
No, that's wonderful.
And so we're even considering, instead of at my advanced age and elderliness, we're considering maybe another store. We'll announce it here if it comes to pass.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
Another area of town, possibly?
Yeah,
or?
Another area of town.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, we'll have a little to talk about, I'm sure, coming up. Timeline on that tentative. What's your tentative timeline as far as an announcement?
The announcement? Well, for us to get started early next spring, then the announcement needs to come in the next 30 or 45 days.
Really? Mm. So we might know something in September then?
Possibly. We'll see how the chips fall.
Keep listening to CJ Online, folks. Because Dave's with us each and every Friday, so if it happens, I'm sure we're going to be talking about it on the show as well. We should. Dave, part of your ad in Wednesday's paper dealt with herbs. Big seller. A lot of people growing their own herbs now. I know we've touched on this before on the show.
People have discovered the flavor of herbs, and we grow all of the 60, 70 different kinds of herbs. And
that just amazes me. I know you've said that before. It's a figure amazes me.
And the thing about it, we're going to do a seminar. Our regular customers will get, if you're one of our regular customers that gets our postcards and newsletters in the mail, we will be advising folks of the time. We're going to have a couple of 2 or 3 herb seminars in the evening where you can sign up. You'll pay $20 to attend this seminar, and we will be serving a light dinner and wine as you're out there, and we'll have 2 or 3 of our herb specialists out there to give topics on flavoring and the use of fresh herbs and what's good to use and how to use them and all of that kind of stuff. It'll be an evening. We were going to do it in August, but it's been too hot, so we've put it into September. So those of you that are on our mailing list, and you can get on our mailing list by giving us a call at the greenhouse or coming in and signing up. We'll put you on the mailing list. You will get an invitation to join. We did this last year when we had 2 evenings of it, and we had about all we could handle. We tried to cut it off at 25 or 30 people could come and enjoy the evening and spend a cool evening at Jackson's looking at the herbs and figuring out how they wanted to. And we'll put together herb platters for people at the seminar if they wish, or show them how to do it themselves. They can plant their own, take them home, have herbs, enjoy them through the fall, and bring some of them in and keep them alive during the winter and use fresh herbs all winter long. Fantastic. Good question.
What's the biggest selling herb?
Biggest? Probably, depends on the time of year. Now, cilantro or coriander, big seller this time of year.
What was the second one?
It's the same thing. Cilantro and coriander are the same identical thing. And the reason it's a big seller right now is people are you use that in your salsa.
Yeah.
That's part of your salsa recipe.
Why do people run ads?
Through the year, probably.
Cilantro-free salsa. Cilantro.
I don't know.
Is it cilantro that I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
But people are. Some people are allergic. No, that's a Chinese herb.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sage probably. I don't mean sage or basil would be the two top sellers in terms of, and lavender, of course lavender.
Yeah.
In terms of the top sellers in terms of herbs.
Well, cilantro is the one we would use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, have used.
Mm-hmm. But if you're buying the seed, it's called coriander.
Coriander. How do you spell it?
C-O-R-I-A-N-D-E-R.
Okay. Coriander. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm sure that has a Mexican origin.
Yeah. South America, or Central America, or Mexican is.
Okay, so that's your biggest. And now is the time to plant.
Well, it's an annual. I mean, now would be the time you'd be harvesting it because you're making your salsa now.
Right.
So people are coming in and buying the plants because they want to harvest it right away for their and use it.
Okay, they're buying the full-grown herb plants.
Mm-hmm, that's what we're selling right now, right.
Okay.
This would not be the time to plant the seed or even plant a little start. We've got some larger plants. That's what's selling.
Okay. So planting a start for next year, don't do it now.
Mm-mm. Oh, no. It's
you want to do that in the spring?
Right.
Okay. Yep. And again, is that a kind of a late spring, early May planting type of herb?
Mm-hmm.
Most herbs, again, early May planting for most herbs?
Well, the annuals, certainly. The perennials, of course, you plant any time. And, of course, if you want plants of any size at all for next year on a perennial, you're going to plant them now. And most of our herbs are perennial, like the thyme and those kinds of things. Now would be a good time to come out and get started with that kind of stuff.
You're buying herbs and spices at a grocery store, you know, in the little jars.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they coming from as far as the perfect growing climate for herbs? Are we in that climate?
No.
We're not.
We're not in that climate. California.
So we're too cold here as far as developing herbs commercially.
Well, we have too much humidity and we don't... The application of fungicides is not a good thing if you're trying to grow fresh herbs. You know, a lot of people don't want chemicals on their herbs, so a lot of that comes from is produced in the California, this San Joaquin Valley.
Okay, to where you have more stable temperatures, you don't have the extremes,
and low humidity, that kind of thing. And, of course, they have the concentration of people there to harvest it, the migrant workers, that kind of stuff.
So there's no commercial herb growers in Kansas. This is something that you
well,
would
not
want
that,
to get into.
Yeah, David's Herbs, or some of these people, are commercial, but to... What's-her-name's grows herbs over in Lawrence as well. There's some. They're minuscule compared. They're not in the where there's any kind of commercial distribution chain that's done from around here. In other
words,
this would
be the low end of the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
There are a few people earning their living doing herbs, but darn few and not huge. I mean, you're not talking more than 5 acres of herbs probably in the whole state being grown.
Okay.
That I'm aware of.
So if somebody came into Jackson's greenhouse and said, gee, I'm retired now. I want to get into commercial farming. I think I want to get in the herb business.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be...
I'd say, you know, better before you put the first seed in the ground, you better know where you're going to sell it.
Yeah.
So you need to get some distribution lines established first if you're going to do it commercially. Otherwise, you're just going to be a farmer's market guy selling it out the back end of your pickup.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That's where your commercial leads would come from anyway, wouldn't it?
What's that, from farmer's market?
I just assumed that if you were growing something commercially, you've got the buyers there from the Hy-Vees and the Dillons coming out to the farmer's market. Not so.
No. None of
really?
Those folks. No, huh?
Really?
They're not. Huh? You'd have to check with the local store manager to see if they have any freedom at all to buy locally. Second of all, then what they would buy and what the price would be if you're going to a local chain. If you're going the distribution route, then you need to go to the nearest distribution center for that particular grocery store, which I suppose for Kroger's is still in Hutchinson's, probably got a distribution outlet there. Since it was Dillon's, that's where the Dillon's used to be headquartered.
So if you were thinking about selling tomatoes to Dillon's at 29th and Urish, you'd have to take your tomatoes to Hutchison.
No, not necessarily. If the store manager there and the produce manager have authorization to buy local, you can go direct there. But they would have to have that authorization first. But, for example, your locally owned stores, which there's still some. You've got Tilton's on West 6th and Tilton's in Oakland, and you've got the Apple stores around town are locally. Mm-hmm. The one in Meriden, the one here, those are locally owned. Those people would be folks to still attempt to sell stuff at.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm not aware of any others to speak of besides...
What about your middleman would be your produce houses then, your produce companies?
The produce houses are gone.
What about Miller? Are they still around? Miller no. Produce? They're right. Gone?
Everybody's gone. Well, I shouldn't say that. But, you know, they've been taken... There are maybe one or two that still do restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a... That's what those small produce companies now are limited to is locally owned restaurants. Not even the chain restaurants, of course, get all their food in already pre-prepared or whatever. Mm-hmm. So all they're doing is heating plates that came in, basically. So it's a different market than it used to be when we were doing it.
All together. Mm-hmm. You were in that for a while.
From 51 to 1971, basically 20 years, we were vegetable growers and either had directly supplied all the locally owned grocery stores or sold to Fleming's or sold to Dash Produce or the Cohen's that owned Call Valley Produce, all of those folks that are all gone now.
Hmm. And then in 71, you kind of saw the handwriting on the wall, the business was starting to change then?
Right. I could see that I wasn't going to be able to grow our business in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so then by 75, we'd built the garden center and started that path.
Yeah. So the garden center's been there since 75 then?
We took down the old building that was there and erected the garden center at the north end of the greenhouses and... a small building at first, and we've expanded it five times since we built it at first. It's still too small, but
I did not know that. Of course, we moved here in 75. I guess I was under the impression that it had been there forever. Well, since 1951, there had been something there.
Since 1922. Yeah. We just bought it in 51.
Yeah. Wow.
That greenhouse was built in 1922.
Really? Good night. I've always thought 1951. I know we've talked about 51.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the tail end of the floods, right? Mm-hmm. You were in after the floods.
No. Dad bought it right before the flood. Talk about your timing.
Really?
29-year-old with two little boys, and we moved out there in April or May, and the flood was in July.
Good night.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you survived it rather nicely.
Well, Dad survived it, for sure, and the folks, they made it, did well. Left a business there for me to take over. By then, he had moved into large agriculture farming, and the greenhouse held really no interest to him at that point. And so from 68, when I got out of school, then we kind of revived the business. It was down to about a $10,000 a year gross business. We were just doing the spring tomatoes, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of his time was taken up in farming, lots and lots of row crop and custom harvesting and that kind of stuff is what he did then.
Mm.
So once I got out of college, you didn't see him in the greenhouse anymore.
And then it was basically your baby.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, something else in your head. We're just about out of time. Time always flies. Now, are you mm-hmm. growing your own rock? I see that river rock.
We have
a special on river rock.
Well, it's not a special. I just wanted people to know that we have the rock, and I think we have about as good a price as anybody in town on the rock. We've added bins, concrete bins. I've bought bins now so that we're able to handle more varieties than we have before.
Mm-hmm.
So rock comes from Kansas River's the cheapest, of course, because you haul it the least. It comes from Missouri. That's a little bit more. It's I think we talked about it. It's
mm-hmm.
it's taken out of the river over there. Holiday Sand and Gravel takes it out of the river over there behind the 635 Casino. What's that one?
Argosy.
Argosy, right mm-hmm. there behind the Argosy's. Where that comes from, and then there's some comes out of South Dakota. And it's, of course, more expensive yet. But we have lots of rock. I wanted to make sure that people knew that we are taking back plastic containers and giving you plants kind of as a trade, annual plants, through the end of August. If they needed to, if they've got a garage full of stuff that they're going to think that they're going to put in the trash, don't do that. We'll try to recycle plastic and give you some plants if you want to come in and drop your plastic off.
Okay.
So that's it.
Question on, because also in your ad you mentioned cedar mulch.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best mulch you can buy.
It's as good as any, and it's the least expensive because it's harvested in Missouri rather than having it bring cypress in from Georgia or Florida. Again, it's all a function of freight.
Yeah. I've got cedar mulch around my tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just rake that cedar mulch over to the side
right.
this winter and use it again next year?
Absolutely can.
No reason why you shouldn't or can't.
I can't think of a reason why
it
you should.
It doesn't become more disease prone.
Well, you tend to pick up a little bit of soil. It may get some weed seed in it, depending on what's going on. But that would be the reason that you wouldn't. You'd probably refresh it with a. You'll need to add to it, I'm sure, because you're not going to get all
right.
the mulch up. But anyway, no reason you can't use the following year because. Fungus doesn't grow on cedar, nor does do insects infest it.
That basically was my question. It's not going; it's still going to be disease resistant
mm-hmm.
as far as using it the next year.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's going to break down.
Sure, eventually it will,
yeah.
or get so full of soil that it's doesn't serve as any kind of weed barrier protection. But
yeah,
just keep adding to it.
Yeah,
and
then it's okay. You can just keep adding, keep adding, keep
mm-hmm.
adding.
Mm-hmm.
And the disease resistancy not going to change.
Not with cedar, no.
Okay. Sure, but there are mulches. That's not the case, correct?
Hardwood mulch, right. That's the one that will break down and also can harbor powdery mildew and some other kinds of funky-looking things and start growing, even start growing some mushrooms for you or toadstools.
Yeah.
And... I get a lot of those questions in the summer where they've got toadstools coming up in their garden or their yard, and it's all from wood products that are below the surface of their ground, either an old root system or even mulch that comes in.
Now, those mushrooms that are coming up, don't eat them?
Don't eat them, unless you're a better mushroom identifier than I. But morels typically do not come up in hardwood mulch. I mean, that's the... mushroom of choice around here, and that's not what's going to come up out of those.
So if it's an old wood pile,
mm-hmm.
those are mushrooms you don't eat.
Well, like I said, unless you know what it is, I wouldn't be putting it in my mouth exactly
yeah.
because it can be very unpleasant.
Yes, indeed.
So.
Cypress and cedar mulch seem to be the two big sellers.
For us.
Is there an advantage over cedar over cypress as far as disease resistancy? Or is it more of a pricing to where both of them basically do the same thing?
In bulk form, of course, the cedar is going to be a lot less expensive than cypress. Cypress is a bit more pH neutral than cedar. Cedar will tend to be a little bit more acidic. Since our water, if you're watering your tomatoes, tends to be sweet in our area, the cedar can offset it. The sweetness, I mean, cedar doesn't become an acidic problem.
Mm-hmm.
It could. Cypress is preferred in terms of mulch in many areas because it's neutral,
mm-hmm.
pH neutral, where cedar's acidic. But we have the offsetting factors here in our area.
232-3416. 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road. You open at what time on Saturdays and Sundays?
8:30 on Saturday, 11 o'clock on Sunday. Annette has to go to church, and Annette plays for the service. So if you want to come to our service and hear Annette play the organ, it's at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Not at Jackson's. The services aren't at Jackson's.
Calvary Lutheran, 43rd North Topeka Boulevard.
See you next Friday.
Okay.
Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Folks, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you Monday morning. Have a great, great weekend. I'm Jim Gates.
became a dominant theme.